ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः. श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदाम्बिकं. वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरु श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरुं वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणरघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपदां सहगणललितां श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च. नमोऽहं विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रसाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनिति नामिने. नमस्ते सरस्वतीदेवीं गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादी पाश्चात्यादेशधारिणे. नमोऽहं विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रसाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिसिद्धान्तसरस्वतीति नामिने. श्रीवर्षभानविदेवी दैदाय कृपाब्दये कृष्णसम्बन्धविज्ञानं दायिने प्रभवे नमः. माधुर्योज्ज्वलप्रेमाद्या श्रीरूपानुगभक्तिदा श्रीगौरकरुणाशक्ति विग्रहाय नमोऽस्तु ते. नमस्ते गौरवाणि श्रीमूर्तये दीनदारिणे रूपानुगविरुद्धावसिद्धान्तद्वन्द्वहारिणे. नमो गौरकिशोराय साक्षाद् वैराग्यमूर्तये विप्रलम्बरसाम्बोधे पदाम्बुजाय ते नमः. भक्तिविनोदाय सच्चिदानन्दनामिने गौरशक्तिस्वरूपाय रूपनुगौराय ते. गौराविर्भवभूमिस्त्वं निर्देष्टा सज्जनप्रिय वैष्णवा सर्वभौम श्रीजगन्नाथाय ते नमः. वञ्चकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः. नमो महावदन्याय कृष्णप्रेमप्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्णचैतन्यनाम्ने गौरत्वशे नमः. पञ्चतत्त्वात्मकं कृष्णं भक्तरूपस्वरूपकं भक्तावतारं भक्ताख्यं नमामि भक्तशात्विकम्. हे कृष्णकरुणा सिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगल्पदे गोपेश गोपिका कान्ता राधा कान्त नमोऽस्तु ते. जयतां सुरतो भाङ्गोर्मम मन्दमतिर्गति मत्सर्वस्वदाम्भोजौ राधा मदनमोहनौ. दिव्यवृन्दारण्यकल्पद्रुमाद श्रीमन्रत्नाकर सिंहासनस्थौ श्रीमन्नादा श्रीलगोविन्ददेवौ प्रष्टालिभिः सेव्यमानौ स्मरामि. श्रीमन्नासरसारम्भी वंशी वडतटस्थित कर्षन् वेणुस्वनेर्गोपेर्गोपीनाथा श्रियेऽस्तु नाः. तप्तकाञ्चन गौराङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये. जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृन्द. हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे. हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे. Tenth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam is called Nirodham. Nirodham means bringing the mind under control. Mano Nirodham. It is called Mano Nirodham, able to bring the mind under control. So, all the Puranam, For example, Srimad Bhagavatam and all the other Puranams also, and similarly Mahabharatam, Itihasams, they are, Ramayanam, they are all actually presented to us to get the message of the Vedam properly to us. This is an important thing to understand, that Vedavyasa Maharshi found that the knowledge in the Vedam, particularly the Upanishads knowledge, is not accessible to ordinary people. There's a great difficulty there, that because of our lower modes of nature that is present in all of us, that the knowledge that is in the Upanishads is not accessible to us easily. So therefore, in order to make it a lot more accessible, he expanded that message in the form of Puranas. That is how Puranams have come. Puranams are a much later date creation, unlike Upanishads. Upanishads are the original. Even Vedavyasa Maharshi's appearance, way before that, Upanishads existed. But because of the message in the Upanishads is difficult for ordinary people to grasp, because of our conditioning and due to our prarabdham and due to our vasanas and due to our modes of nature, everything, it is difficult for us to capture the message of the Upanishads easily and to bring that into our life in this world. Generally, people find that very, very difficult. Therefore, what did Vedavyasa Maharshi, seeing this problem, he compiled Mahabharatam, Itihasam particularly, Mahabharatam, and then, not satisfied with Mahabharatam, he compiled Puranas, everything, and finally compiled Srimad Bhagavatam. So, Puranams, Itihasams and everything were written for this purpose only, that it is a very elaborate commentary or elaborate expanded form of presentation of the message of the Upanishads, but spoken in a different way. So that is why, if you look at Bhagavatam, you will see this in the second canto. Atra sargo visargascha stoinam pushanam poshanam utaya manindaram ishani katha nirodho mukti rashraya. That's how Bhagavatam begins in the second canto. You can see in the 10th chapter, the first verse itself, that verse, isn't it? And there, what Vedavyas did was, while saying this, Shukha Brahmarshi mentions there, that what is each canto telling us in the Bhagavatam? Each canto, what it has got to say to us. So, if you look at that verse, it will be easier to connect with that. First verse is, what does it say? Manyandaram ishanukatha nirodham mukti ashrayam. First verse says, atrasargo visargascha. You know that. Sthanam poshanamutaya. The first verse in the 10th chapter. 2.10.1. Manyandaram ishanukatha nirodham mukti ashrayam. So the 10 different topics that's discussed in the Bhagavatam. And what did he say after that? Dashamasya vishuddhyartham navanamiha lakshanam varnayandi mahalmanam shudenarthena janjasa. Dashamasya vishuddhyartham navanamiha lakshanam. He is saying there that out of this 10 topics that is discussed in the Bhagavatam, which is Sargam, Visargam, Sthanam, Poshanam, Uti, Manyandaram, Ishanukatha, Nirodham, Mukti, and finally Ashrayam. The 10 topics that is discussed in the Bhagavatam. Out of that, important one is the last one, Ashrayam. Ashrayam means taking shelter. And this Ashraya Tattvam behind that, and to give us understanding of that tattvam of ashrayam, what is the principle of this taking shelter means. It is easy to say to take shelter, but prior to understand taking shelter, we have to know who shelter and how to do that, taking shelter. So, in order to do that, ashraya tattvam and ashraya surubam, that's what it is called. the nine candles before the nine topics before ashrayam is spoken. That is sargam, visargam, sthanam, poshanam, udi, manandaram, ishanukatha, nirodham, mukti. These nine topics were spoken to make us understand what is ashrayam means, to whose ashrayam to take and how to take ashrayam. Ashraya tattvam and ashraya surupam. So there you can see in the seventh verse, if you look in that, because this tenth chapter in the second canto is an important chapter because it just brings you first into Bhagavatam, entry there. And he's saying there, in the seventh verse, if you look, you'll see, Abhasascha nirodhascha yadascha dhyavasiyade sa ashraya param brahma paramalpedi shabdyade. He says, Abhasascha nirodhascha yadascha dhyavasiyade sa ashraya param brahma paramalpedi shabdyade. So there, through that, nine topics, this ashraya tattvam is spoken. What is ashraya means, and abhasam means srishti, creation, srishti. Nirodham means pralayam, devastation. In a gross sense, if you look, you will think about this creation. In a gross sense, when you think about it, you will think about the devastation. What about in the subtle level? In the subtle level, when you take those words, abhasam and nirodham means, abhasam is srishti or creation, which we explained before how it came from inside. Because creation is not what you see outside. Creation is this, that what is the impact of that inside us? That is always, we have to keep that bear in mind. What is this impact of this world in us? That's more important than what you see with your eyes in this world. What you see with your eyes has no significance. You will see something tomorrow, you will see something different day after. That's continuously changing. But the impact of the world in us is more important. And that is why this abhasascha nirodhascha means, abhasam is that the impact of the world inside us, or the world that we have created from within, and nirodham means that this creation, what has been created, how it is sustained, how is it maintained, how it remains in that way, and how does it go back and eventually dissolves itself. As Krishna says here, you have to connect with Bhagavad Gita all the time in these situations, that world has come from us. We didn't come from the world. World came out of us. And how come the world is sustained here? And how the world goes back and gets dissolved in us. These things. And that is Brahmam. That is Brahmam. Because when we say Aham Brahmasmi, our connection with the Brahmam is closer than the connection with the world. And it is from Brahmam every creation has happened. Yesterday also we mentioned that. That creation process is such that Sachidananda Brahmam, when he has taken a form and appeared as Krishna in front of us, has come in the Virat Purusha form, and from there all other incarnations had come. So, that Brahmam, he says here, you can see here, the verse itself says, Abhasascha nirodhascha yadascha dhyavasiyade sa ashraya. Ashraya of what? Param Brahmam. Param Brahmam paramalpedi shabdyade. Shelter of Brahmam, who is addressed as Paramatma, is the shelter. The shelter, sa ashraya, ashrayam is Param Brahmam, Paramatmedi Shabdyade, who is also addressed as Paramatma. So, Brahmam and Paramatma is not something to be written off. It is there in the Shastra mentioned that Paramatma or Brahmam is ashrayam, is ashrayam, is the ashrayam. So, And that Brahmam's nature is spoken in the Bhagavadam. Satta Chitta Anandam. Sachidanandam. Isn't it? And that is why that knowledge in the beginning of the Bhagavadam is Janmadhyaseyadaha. Janmadhyaseyadaha. So, Brahma Tattvam, Brahma Tattva Jnanam, or knowledge of Brahmam, That is what is spoken through these nine different topics, like creation, primary creation, secondary creation, sargam visargam, sthanam, sthanam, poshanam, uti, manandaram, ishanikatha, nirodham, mukti. These nine topics is nothing but the Brahma, knowledge of the Brahman, Brahma tattva jnanam. That is what is spoken. And what is also, we call it as Brahma Vidya. What we call it as? Brahma Vidya. So, Brahma Vidya, which is the message in the Upanishads, Vedartham, which is Brahma Vidya, that is what is given through these nine topics. Nine topics. How is it given to us? That is what he says here. That in the second verse you see, Varnayandi Mahalpanam Shude Arthena Chanjasa. He says there. See that? Varnayandi Mahalpanam Shude Arthena Chanjasa. Shude Arthena Chanjasa, that means in two different ways. Either through Shruti or Shrutena or through Arthena. Either through the form of Shruti or in the form of Artham. Shudena Arthena Chanjasa. So that means through these two different channels, through the Shruti, Shraudham, or through Artham. What does that mean? Shrutam Artham means, that means Brahmajnanam is given to us. Shrutam means Shruti. Shruti. And Shruti, as here Shrutam means actually Stuti, the glorifications. And then the direct instructions, Upadesham. Like Krishna is giving Upadesham to Uddhava. Isn't it? Krishna gives Upadesham to Uddhava. And similarly, Narada Maharshi gives Upadesham to different people in the Bhagavatam. He gives Upadesham. It's called Upadesham. Upadesham is given to Prahlada. Narada Maharshi gives Upadesham to Haryashwa and Shabalashwa. And similarly, Narada Maharshi gives Upadesham to Chitragedu. So, in various places, Sri Narada Maharshi gives Upadesham to them. Upadesham means just accepting transcendental knowledge from a spiritual master in the proper way and cultivating that knowledge and realizing the truth directly, without any, not in a crisscross way, but directly given the knowledge. So that is what, and Shuka Brahmarshi gives Upadesham to Parikshit at the end. That's the 12th, 5th chapter. Brahmopadesham it is called. The chapter is called Brahmopadesham because knowledge of Brahmam, self-realization is given to Parikshit in that chapter. Therefore, it's called Brahmopadesham. So, Shudena Arthena Chanjasa. So, in the glorifications in the Bhagavadam, which is called Stuti, and this direct instructions called Upadesham, these two combined is called Shruti. Shrute means that. Shrutena Arthena Chanjasa. So, Shruti means these two. Glorifications and direct instructions. Then, Arthena. Arthena means Katha. Stories in the Bhagavadam. Arthena means Katha. So, in Stuti and Upadesham, it is normally given this Brahma Vidya or knowledge of the self is spoken in a way directly. It's very direct. Both in the Stuti as well as in the Upadesham. It is direct. Directly. No covering there. No covering there. It's spoken directly. Very clearly and in a very direct way. Therefore, if this Stuti and Upadesham, if you take it and do reflection on that, mananam, if you perform mananam on that, tattvajnanam, knowledge of the self will develop faster. But you have to do the mananam. That's the only thing. This Stuti and the Upadesham, because it's spoken directly, and if you take it on board and reflect on it very well, for years, if you do that, that's where reflection comes. In Stuti and Upadesham, reflection comes. If it is done like that, tattvajnanam or knowledge of the self or Brahma Vidya becomes a lot easier. But generally, the problem is, the Stuti and Upadesham, most of the people find it very hard. The reason is that we won't understand them properly. Why it is being spoken in that way? When you read the Stuti, remember I mentioned this before, that the people, when they read Bhagavatam, when they come to Stuti or Upadesham, they say, that's a boring bit. They say that because of the poor receptivity for them. So therefore what happens, generally people avoid Stuti and Upadesham, they go into Katha. Katha is easy to listen to. And Katha makes it easier for people to relate with, isn't it? So what has happened is that many people who speak Srimad Bhagavatam, they tell people, don't worry about Stuti and Upadesham, only worry about the Katha. Just listen to the Katha. That is sufficient. They say like that. And this has been spoken in this way by many people who speak Srimad Bhagavatam like that. And general class of people have also accepted like that. Ordinary people have also become in agreement with that. They come to like that. So therefore what happened was, people started ignoring this Stuti and Upadesham in the Bhagavatam. They would not read it. As I said, they find it boring and they find it not making any sense. Somebody sitting there and singing glories like this, or somebody is giving instructions like that, and they find it boring, so they just started avoiding that. That has become the tendency. And that is a serious shortcoming. Serious shortcoming. Because just because we don't understand it, and because of that, not trying to understand it is a foolishness, isn't it? Just because we don't understand that doesn't mean that you ignore it. If you don't understand something, you have to find some way to understand it. That's the way it is. Huh? So this is how Srimad Bhagavatam has become like a storybook now. Most of the people are thinking Bhagavatam is stories. Rishis won't waste their time to write stories. Write stories, there are so many people who are good storytellers in this world. The rishis are not sitting there to tell us some stories. They have a much more serious business. But because we don't understand the message, they have brought in the form of stories and put it to us. So that at least then something will get inside. This was in their, they are very, very deeply reflective nature they have. As you know, about the munis, what Krishna says in the Bhagavatam. Even if read it one time, if you read it one time, and even if you read one time, and even if you have heard it from many times, still you won't understand the Stuti and Upadesham. Stuti and Upadesham has got that problem, that even if you have heard it, read it few times, or even if you have heard it from somebody, still you will not completely get the message properly inside. And that is a fact. And what do we have to do? If you have not understood, we'll have to reflect on it again and again and again till you get it. There is no other way to that. That means, till that tattvam what is spoken in there, it gets fully established inside our brain, inside our thoughts, inside our thought, we have to continue doing this mananam about it. Then, instead, what people are doing is, they shy away from this. They don't want it. They want to shy away from Stuti and from Upadesham. This is the reason why many people don't want to hear 11th canto. They say, what is there? And then continuously Krishna is saying something to Uddhava. And what is there to worry about? There's much interesting part before that. It has become a general pattern in that way. So, to go away from that and not trying to perform a proper analysis and trying to understand what the message is coming out from that, that will be very foolishness not to do that. So that means a golden opportunity in the Srimad Bhagavatam is this Stuti and Upadesham. And if we do not utilize that, it will be a great loss. You are only on the surface hovering in the Bhagavatam. So along with the Katha is not rejected. Katha is necessary, but along with the Katha, we do have to look into the Stuti as well as the Upadesham, and without watering down that, we do have to reflect on it very seriously and able to get the message inside. And that is how you study Srimad Bhagavatam. Not to leave those things which we don't understand and take only what we able to follow. That will not be doing justice to Bhagavatam. So that is where the main message is in this Tudhi and Upadesham, is the main message. That does not mean that it is not there in the stories. Katha also has it. But how we try to understand the Katha with the same importance and with the same significance, you have to try to understand Stuti and Upadesham also. Equally important. They are like the Katha. So these three things, Stuti, Upadesham, Katha. So when he says here, Varnayandi Mahalmanam Shudena Arthena Chanjasa. Shruti means Stuti and Upadesham, and Artha means Katha. So Shrutena Arthena Chanjasa. Shruti and Artham, both are necessary. So how to do this contemplation or reflection on this? While explaining this Upadesham and Stuti, one has to give time for that. One has to give sufficient time for that. Otherwise, it will not have its... it won't be like Katha. Just read Katha, you read it. And you know who are involved in the Katha, the persons who are involved and what happened and things like that. But Stuti and Upadesham is of a different nature. Unless you devote a lot of time and do a reflection on that, this will not get inside. And you can see that there you require your individual effort in that direction. Yeah. So, and that means that continuously you just have to absorb in Bhagavatam if you want to understand Stuti and Upadesham. Continuously you have to absorb in the Bhagavatam. That means in any topic in this world, you know that if you want to make it a success, you got to devote time and energy for that. And that is true with the world outside, and it is true with the spiritual life as well, Adhyatma also. So, Artham, as I said before, is Katha. Artham is Katha. So, through this Katha, it will help you to understand the Tattvam. Tattvam has to be understood. So, and for that, you have to analyze the Katha. You have to analyze the Katha properly. Analyzing means Abhagrahanam. Abhagrahanam means that when you are trying to understand the Katha, you shouldn't do it in such a way that you kill the Katha at the end. No. Purpose is this, that all the Katha or Krishna's pastimes, Leela, what we call it as Leelas, and it should not be interpreted in the way like Puranjana story. Puranjana story is an allegorical thing, right? That's only one thing in the Bhagavatam which is totally allegorical. It is not making any... it's not a real thing. It's an allegorical story. So, there what Narada Maharshi did was, after talking about Puranjana story, he explained that, Puranjana Upakhyanam, and expanded that and gave the message separately, so that Prajina Barhis could understand it properly. Because when he told Puranjana story, Prajina Barhis told him, "I don't understand this story. I never heard a story like this," he said. So, what did Narada Maharshi say? Narada Maharshi says to Prajina Barhis, that this is not a real thing. I will explain the story's purpose. And then he spoke the message of the story separately. You will see that in the fourth canto, how it was spoken. But in a similar way, all Krishna's pastimes, we shouldn't go and make it a story out of it like that. They are real ones. And that has to be accepted in that way. Katha is right. They are pastimes. They are Leela, Krishna's Leela. And Sridharacharya Swamiji particularly has spoken this, forbidden that to explain the pastimes in that way. It requires some expertise in doing this, because only those who have a depth of understanding, they know where you are allowed to do it and where you are not allowed to do it. Like what happened with Puranjana story, right? Bhagavatam is very complex that way, that it is not so easy to, some stories has messages, some, and therefore you are allowed to extract that message separately. Some stories don't have. So, but you should never do it like the way Puranjana story, all the pastimes in that way, that is forbidden. Sridharacharya Swamiji writes that in his commentary. So, if you remember in the second canto, when this discussion happened between Brahma and Narada Maharshi, Brahma didn't give the whole Bhagavatam to Narada Maharshi, isn't it? It only lasted 2-3 chapters, everything. Brahma Narada Samvadam, it is called, right? So when Brahma spoke Bhagavatam to Srinarada Maharshi, he told him, I have given you the essence, you can expand on that, isn't it? Yatha harer bhagavadi, nranam bhaktir bhavishyadi, sarvalpen akhiladharam, iti sangalpa varnaya. There is a verse in the Bhagavatam, you can see that. How do you expand something? You expand it in such a way that yatha harer bhagavadi, nranam bhaktir bhavishyadi, so that those who are hearing this message, when Krishna gave to Brahma, he gave in 4 verses. When Brahma gave to Narada, he gave in 3 chapters. When Narada gave to Vedavyas, he gave few more chapters. And Vedavyas expanded that into 18,000 verses and 335 chapters. So, every stage, expansion has happened. It was expanded at every level. It has to be expanded. So, expansion happens when, depending on the person who is hearing it, for their purpose, looking at the standard of the people who are hearing, expansion is done. That is the principle. So, this 18,000 verses, because it's not possible for us to understand, so it's further expanded by the commentaries, by acharyas, Sridharacharya and many others, right? So, this is how, so expansion is necessary. There is no question about that. Because of the level of receptivity, what people have got, to make them more, to get them closer to the reality, to understand the truth, things have to be expanded. Otherwise, it won't get inside. It will just go on the top of the head like that. It won't get inside. So that is why when Brahma told Narada, with the 3 chapters he told him, Yatha harer bhagavadi, nranam bhaktir bhavishyadi. You can expand it in such a way that the people who listens to you, they will develop bhakti at heart. Nanam bhaktir bhavishyadi. Sarvalpanya akhiladharam. Never forget this one important point, he said. Sarvalpani akhiladharam. That means the adharam or the basis of everything is Krishna. In that understanding, Sarvalma, who is Krishna, Alma, who is present in everyone, is the basis of everything. Understanding that Atma, in Atma all these things are happening. Everything is happening. With that Sangalpam, you can expand that. Iti Sangalpa Varnaya. That is how Brahma gave this to Narada Maharshi. So, when Narada Maharshi got it, he had to give it to Vedavyas. So, when he had to give it to Vedavyas, Narada Maharshi added a little bit more to it. In his way, he presented that to Vedavyas. So, in this Narada Maharshi, that when Brahma gave this instruction to Narada Maharshi, in a very condensed form, he gave Srimad Bhagavatam to him. Brahma gave it to Narada Maharshi. And that is what we call as the Brahma Narada Samvadam. Brahma Narada Samvadam. In the second canto, 5th, 6th and 7th chapter is Brahma Narada Samvadam. Brahma talking to Narada Maharshi about Srimad Bhagavatam. And then he told him that I have given you Srimad Bhagavatam in a very condensed form. Who Brahma is saying to Narada Maharshi. And he also told him Srimad Bhagavatam is nothing but Brahma Vidya. It is Brahma Vidya in the Srimad Bhagavatam. What does Brahma Vidya means? That's also important to know. Brahma Vidya means there are 3 things in the Brahma Vidya spoken there. First thing is the nature of the truth, or Krishna's form, what it is. When we say form, don't go with the idea of the 2 hands, 2 legs. That's not what form means. Swarupa means, how do we relate with the truth. What is truth means, that is the form we are talking about. Swarupam. For example, our Swarupam. What is our Swarupam? Satyachitanandam. Isn't it? Eternal blissful knowledge. That is our Swarupam. Our Swarupam is not these two hands and two legs and this body and all that. This is something Maya has put on us. But our real Swarupam is Nitya, Shuddha, Buddha, Mukta Swarupam. Eternal, pure, fully liberated, and Shuddha, Buddha, Mukta, fully conscious. Eternal, fully conscious, fully liberated, and totally pure. Eternal, pure, Buddham, Nityam, Shuddham, Buddham, Buddha Mukta Swarupam, fully conscious and fully liberated. This is our Swarupam. Our Swarupam is not this body. So when we use this word Swarupam in the Shastram, it does not refer to our, people are thinking Swarupam means when I go into spiritual world, what will be my body like? That's what they are thinking. That's not what Swarupam means. Swarupam means this, that here now our Swarupam is Nitya Shuddha Buddha Mukta Swarupam. Nityam, eternal, Shuddham, pure, Buddham, fully conscious, Muktam, always liberated. That is our Swarupam. Swarupam is that. What is happening now is what Maya has provided us with this body. That is not our Swarupam, because this Swarupam means that will remain forever. Whereas body is not Swarupam, that is coming and going. Body is coming and going, so therefore it is not Swarupam. Anything that comes and goes is not Swarupam. Swarupam means, in our pure form, what are we? If you ask the question, that's the answer. Nitya Shuddha Buddha Mukta Swarupam. So similarly, here, the Swarupam of the truth, or Krishna Swarupam. Krishna is the truth. So what is Krishna Swarupam? That is one topic that is discussed in the Brahma Vidya. What is Krishna Swarupam? And without understanding, simply to look at Krishna and saying that is Krishna Swarupam, that's not what it means. That Swarupam carries a weight in that, because what is Krishna Swarupam? And similarly, second one is what is Krishna's Vibhuti? All the opulences of that Bhagavan or Krishna is Swarupam, and then his opulences and his pastimes. Opulences and pastimes. This is the second topic. Opulences and pastimes, they go together. So first is Swarupam, secondly opulences and pastimes, and thirdly, what is the process to get to him? What is the process to get to him? That is the sign of sadhana, what one has to do, sadhana margam, or the different processes, what one has to execute to do to get there, to get there. So these three topics is what is in the Brahma Vidya. What is in the Brahma Vidya? In the Vaishnava tradition, they uses the word Sambandham, Abhideyam, Prayojanam. But way before it has come, this is the way Brahma Vidya was spoken. The same thing they have put in the three, Sambandham, Abhideyam, Prayojanam, they mentions in that way. So, in a very nutshell, Sri Narada Maharshi was instructed by Lord Brahma. And told him, expand this, he said. How? Only thing is, when people hear this, it should be spoken in such a way, they should develop bhakti in the heart. Develop bhakti in the heart. And they should get attracted to Krishna. Means, they should get attracted to the truth. Attracted to Krishna means getting attracted to the truth. That's more important. Not that you get attracted to a form. Because Krishna is the truth, therefore we should get attracted to Krishna. That is the most important thing. Like we get attracted to so many people in this world. Not in that way, to get attracted to Krishna. That's useless, because that kind of attraction won't last very long. Only when you get attracted to Krishna, knowing that Krishna is the truth. Why Krishna is the truth? That's the first thing. And then to get attracted to him, speak Srimad Bhagavatam in such a way that they will get attracted to it. So, that is the thing. And that is what is called bhakti. Getting attracted to Krishna, to the truth in that way, is called bhakti. And, in other words, somehow or the other, after hearing about the truth spoken in the Srimad Bhagavatam, we have to get firmly established there. We don't want to go away from that anymore. The attraction should be so strong that you have to feel that this is what I want in my life. To that extent, you should get attracted to Krishna. That is why it is so important to know this. Then it mentions that when you talk about these stories, because Brahma, when he gave this to Sri Narada Maharshi, he put all these conditions to Narada Maharshi. Don't go and tell them all kinds of stories and mislead them. He said, tell them in such a way that they get attracted to the truth, which is Krishna, get attracted to Krishna or to the truth, and they get established there, that they don't leave it anymore. They will come to it and stay in that way. And Sridhara Swami mentions there that while expanding, it should be borne in mind, there should be bhakti in the heart of the people who are listening to the story. And secondly, it should never be spoken purely on the platform of knowledge. Shushkatyanam. Shushkatyanam means dry speculative knowledge. Simply dry knowledge. It should not be spoken. That means every time the knowledge of the self is spoken, bhakti should be spoken along with that. Because without bhakti, if it becomes simply dry knowledge, it won't last. It will go. It will not stay. That's why bhakti has to accompany everything. Remember yesterday we talked about that. Whether it is jnana margam, yoga margam, karma margam, whatever it may be, bhakti is an integral part of that, ingredient of that. And therefore, Sridhajari Swamiji also says there, you should never talk about it in a dry intellectual exercise, in other words. It should be associated with bhakti. And tattvajnanam. Tattvajnanam means the knowledge of the truth. Knowledge of the truth. What is spoken in the stories, katha, and what is spoken in the upadesham. What is spoken in the upadesham? There is a little difference. There is quite a lot of difference. What is spoken in the upadesham, when tattvajnanam, when it is spoken through upadesham and when it is spoken through the katha, there is a substantial difference there. For example, katha, when you are analyzing katha, it has to be spoken in the katha format only. You should not try to make it in a separately from that. That means katha should not be spoken in a symbolic way. Should not be spoken in a symbolic way. Symbolic means pratikalatmakam. In the Shastram, the word is pratikam. Pratikam means that it is everything to say, it's all symbolical. It should not be spoken like that. Sridhara Swami mentions that. He said, and at the same time, in some instances, to make that commentary in that way is allowed also. This is where the difficulty comes. You see, in certain cases you are allowed to speak in a symbolic way. In other places you are not allowed to symbolic way. So, this capacity to find that, where you are allowed and where you are not allowed, that requires some deeper understanding of the Shastra. Because one who has not studied Upanishads, one who has not studied other Vedic literature, when they start discussing Bhagavatam and start discussing the stories all in a symbolic way, then the message is lost in that process. We have to be, got to be careful about that. So generally, you can only make a statement like this. When you are analyzing the katha, when you are evaluating the katha, normally you should not use a symbolic way of saying everything is symbolic. You can't say like that. But at the same time, in some places, you are allowed to do so. And in some instances, depending on our, that's only possible for people who have that depth of understanding, who can say that, and they know that it can be, that stories can be spoken in that way. The stories can be spoken in that way. We'll take one example and see how it works. Take for example Damodara Leela, because it's known to everybody, isn't it? The Damodara pastimes, Krishna's Damodara pastimes, yeah? In every story in the Bhagavatam, you will find this, that when Vedavyasa is saying the story, there will be some verses in there which is pointing out to the tattvam. Pointing out to the tattvam. There will be some verses. And that is up to the reader to separate it out from the katha. One has to know that, to separate those verses. That means, unless you are well read with Bhagavadam many, many times and have a good feeling for Bhagavadam, you won't sense it, which is indicating the tattvam of the story. It's the tattvam of the story. So, and and those verses which are pointing out to the tattvam, if you have understood the essence of those verses, you will know that that essence of those verses will be the tattvam of the story. There's a relationship there like that. I mean, when you're reading Damodara Leela, pastime, it's one example. There are others also in the same way. That while reading through, you will know there are some verses is the tattvam. Couple of verses or three verses, four verses sometimes. And when you start reading those verses, and then when you start analyzing the story, katha, when you see that way the tattvam has been spoken, and you will start realizing that that the connection between the katha and the tattvam. Katha and the tattvam. You will know at that time. And you can look at this way, that while it is in the 9th chapter, you can look at that if you want, the Damodara Leela in the 10th canto. Shuga Brahmarshi is saying there, Yashoda Devi is trying to bind Krishna. Yashoda Devi is trying to bind Krishna. And what does Shuga Brahmarshi say there? Look at the way how Shuga Brahmarshi spoke that. He says that Yashoda Devi is trying to bind Krishna, and Shuka Brahmarshi says 13 and 14 verses. If you look there, 13, 14, those two verses. Na cha andar na bahiryasya na purvam na bicha param purva param bahischa andar jagadoyo jagachaya nammatvalpajam avyaktam martilingam athokshajam Gobigo Ulughale Dhamna Babanda Pragradam Yatha. Those two verses. You can see the translation, if you read through, you will see there that gopis are trying to bind somebody. Who is he? Who has no inside, no outside. How can you bind someone who has no inside, outside? So, the story is going on saying this happened, that happened, and Krishna went and Krishna has broken the pot, taken the butter, ran away from there. The cats and the monkeys followed. Krishna sat on the mortar and sitting there distributing to cats, and all very nice, interesting, isn't it? And then Yashoda Devi comes with the rope to bind Krishna, to bind Krishna. And suddenly, Shiva Brahmashi puts a spanner, saying that, how can you bind Krishna? He's asking the question, to whom? To all of us. This is the tattva. So, Shiva Brahmashi, when he's saying this story, this tattva is inside working behind the story. What he wants to tell us is this tattvam of Krishna. Krishna tattvam is that. What is that? Na cha andar na bahiryasya. He has no inside, he has no outside. Na purvam na bicha param. Napurvam Nabichaparam. That means he didn't exist before like this. He didn't exist like this in the later on. Purvavaram Bahischa Andar Jagadoyo Jagachaya. Not only that, inside this person is the whole creation inside. And Yashoda Devi is trying to put a rope around him and trying him. How is that possible? He's asking us. He's actually teasing gopis also. That you will see this in the Rasa Krida also. Rasa dance. What happened? They were looking for him everywhere. Remember those verses? So we should think about all these things. It's not that just it's written there. Oh, those verses, they are not interesting. Something he's saying. Ignore it. This is the mood of normally people have that attitude. Then they think that those two verses doesn't fit in with the story. So just leave those verses. And if you study Bhagavatam like that, you'll always be on the surface. You'll never get inside. Bhagavatam, when it came to gopis' rasa dance, when Krishna disappeared, the gopis were searching for him. Shukla Brahmarshi is asking the gopis, whom are you searching? Who are you searching for? The world creation, who else is there in this world except him? And you are searching after him. You will see that in the 29th verse, if you look, 29th chapter. So those two, three examples is enough to make us stimulate our thoughts. This is how to study Bhagavatam. Otherwise, it's you are allowed to ask questions. Not that you are not allowed in Bhagavatam, but such questions that will generate some interest in that. Not ask anything else. Not historical importance. That's not what is meant to be. Yeah. So here you can see in the 29th chapter, then gopis are wandering around looking for Krishna, isn't it? So what did he say? That Krishna is here. Yeah. Gopi uchu. Yeah, it's in the next one, 30th chapter. Sorry. 30th chapter is all Gopi's search, right? Gopi's search. At that time, he's asking the same question to the Gopis. He says, whom are you searching for? Kachal Gravakashan Achitulas Galyanam. This particular words I was looking for where Shiva Brahma she says that one minute.
Which
one? 35. This is a direct question from there. See one verse there. No, not Gopi Gita, but before that. No. Ashley Haja Hurusta Gal Miyam. Yeah, see that verse? Yeah. It's the fourth verse in the chapter 30. Beginning itself. See, what it says here, that Krishna has disappeared from the middle of the rasa dance, right? So, gopis are moving around, looking for them. Second verse, Gatyanuragasmida vibhrame chidera manoramalapa vihara vibhrame akshipta chittam pramadam ramapate stastav vijeshta jakruho stadal vigaham gadismida prakshana bhashana adisho priya priyasya pradirudha murthaya asavaham ditya balata dalmiga nivedishu krishna vihara vibhrama. Then look at the next verse. Gayandi, gopis are singing. They are crying and singing. Gayandi uchairam umeva samhada vichikya unmattagavadvana advanam. Vichikya unmattagavadvana advanam. They were wandering around all the forest looking for him. Shubramarshi says, paprachu. They are asking, what? Have you seen Krishna? Akashavadandaram behir bhudeshu sandam purusham vanaspadin. That who is present like the sky everywhere. Paprachu akashavadandaram behir, inside, outside. Who is present inside and outside like the sky. Sky is present inside us also, isn't it? Similarly, space is present inside as well as outside. Similarly, Krishna is present everywhere, inside and outside. And are you looking for him? He says, asking the gopis. Paprachu akashad andaram behir bhudeshu sandam purusham vanaspadin. And you are going and asking all these plants and trees and creepers, have you seen Krishna? Do you understand what Shukha Brahmarshi's point is? So when Shukha Brahmarshi is saying something, behind the tattvam is working. He wants to put the tattvam in front of us, but he has to tell the story. Only through the story it will work. Because when you say, but we will not take that seriously, that is our problem, that's our mistake actually. That when Shukha Brahmarshi is saying something, you have to be so sensitive to it. What is Shukha Brahmarshi trying to get the point across to us? That's what I was saying. When tattvam is spoken, which is in the form of studi or through upadesham. These are upadeshams there. This is Shukha Brahmarshi's upadesham to them. That giving advice to them, look, this nature of the person whom you are looking for is not like in the plant and tree can answer you that. Because he says, paprachu akashavad andaram behir bhudeshu sandam purusham vanaspadin. And you are going and asking all these people. So you can see in every pastime there will be verses there where this issue will come up. What is the tattvam of that story? Yeah? And it is get to this point across to us because it is based on this principle whole rasa dance is working. That we'll discuss later. But coming back to this now, what it says that these two verses, we are talking about Damodara Leela. So let's look at that way. That Krishna Swarupam is this, that the tattvam is spoken in those two verses. That he says to, he's talking to us, Shukha Brahmarshi is telling us, Yashoda Devi is trying to tie somebody down, Krishna down, right? And then what does he do? How can Yashoda tie him? The whole creation is existing in his belly, isn't it? Krishna showed the belly, in the mouth he showed to Yashoda Devi twice, that the whole creation is within my mouth. You know, when we are trapped in Maya, to escape from Maya is not easy. Because these are incidents in the Bhagavatam to open up our understanding, to change that understanding, that Krishna is, Shukha Brahmarshi is saying to us, in two instances, Yashoda Devi saw the whole creation in Krishna's mouth. And now she is trying to tie him down with a rope. When both instances, when Krishna showed the mouth and showed the universes within the mouth, and within the mouth, Krishna showed Yashoda Devi trying to tie Krishna inside. So it's so complicated that it is happening, and Yashoda Devi saw this and completely got shaken by that. And what happened then? Then suddenly Krishna understood that Yashoda Devi cannot handle it, Maya, to that extent. So what did Krishna do? Suddenly took the baby's mind, baby's nature, and says to Yashoda Devi, I want the milk to drink, breast milk. And suddenly that affection came up in Yashoda to that extent. Yashoda took Krishna and embraced him and started giving the breast milk to Krishna. This is how Krishna brought Yashoda back to this world again, the world of Maya. For a short period of time, Yashoda experienced a transcendental experience in this, to see that the whole creation is within his mouth. And in other places, Upanishad says that the whole creation is in his belly. In his belly. Krishna's belly it is. So when we see these things in the Bhagavadam, you start thinking, how do we understand this, isn't it? That question must come from us. How to understand that? Only then you are actually going into Bhagavadam. Otherwise Bhagavadam will just remain as a storybook. So, coming here, that he is saying to us, Shukha Brahmashri is saying to us, that Krishna's identity, Krishna's swarupam is pure consciousness. Shuddha bodham swarupam. Bodham it is, isn't it? And a person like that, who is pure consciousness, has he got inside, outside, up and down, and left and right, or on the higher and the lower level? These things don't exist for pure consciousness. Pure consciousness doesn't have any of those things, isn't it? So this kind of differences doesn't exist in Krishna. We must be conscious of this factor. That Yashoda Devi is trying to, when we look at Krishna from the bodily level, it's okay. You can say all these things. But you are not trying simply a body now with the rope. You are not trying an ordinary person's body with the rope here. You are trying to bind. That is what he is reminding us. That what in the ninth chapter, you'll see that. When he says to us that... Yeah, 13 and 14. Na 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 purvam na picha param. That is 10, 9, 13 and 14. Two verses, right? So, na chandar na bahiryasya, na purvam na picha param, purva param bahis chandar jagadoyo jagachayam, tamat tammatu alpajam avyaktam, martilingam adhokshajam, Gobi ko ulugale dhamna bhavanda pragradam yadha. The whole activity is very pragradam. Pragradam means that something done without proper knowledge, in a very crude way, not knowing whom you are trying to tie down, isn't it? She brings a rope, Yashoda Devi brings a rope, and then try to tie Krishna down to the mortar, and it is not working. Every time it is short of length. Dadama badhyamanasya swarbhagasya kridagasa dyungulonam abhutena santhadenyacha gobiga. Gobiga means Yashoda Devi completely got perplexed with the whole situation. Yadasi idatabi nyunam tena anyan dadhvi santhade tadabi dyungulam nyunam yadyadadatta bandhanam. So Yashoda Devi had to go through that difficulty. So now coming back to this. Krishna Sarupam, that's what we are talking about. That pure consciousness is Krishna, completely spiritual. Remember yesterday when we talked about Avadaram, we mentioned this, that why Krishna is special? Why Krishna is special? What is Shuga Brahmarshi honoring Krishna with? Shuga Brahmarshi is saying to us, speciality with Krishna is always fully conscious of who he is. This is the most important thing. You will never see Krishna has any confusion any time, at any point. All the time in the Swarupasthiti. Swarupasthiti means that pure consciousness state. Pure consciousness. That bodily identity, like we have bodily identity, isn't it? All the time we are most of the time in the body, not in the soul. Always in the body. Whereas Krishna is always in the soul, not in the body. So, even though you may say Krishna's soul and body is one and the same, that's another thing. But pure nature of consciousness, that is Satya Chitta Anandam, is 100% in Krishna, all the time. There is no instance when Krishna thought, I am different from spirit, at no circumstances. That will never happen to him. So, therefore he says here, that who is present in the whole creation, in all levels, everywhere, continuously, that is Krishna. Who is present everywhere, all the time, continuously. And that some people have identified that about Krishna. That's why if you look Vasudeva's prayers to Krishna, when Krishna appeared, Vasudeva prayed, what did he say? Kevala anubhavananda swarupam. You will see the word he has used. Anubhavam anandam. That's a way to understand Krishna. He says there, if we look into the third chapter. Yeah. Third chapter, 13th verse. 10.3.13. See how Father is seeing the Son? Father is saying to us, my Son is vididosi bhavan sakshal purusha prakrite param kevalam anubhavam ananda swarupam sarva buddhi drukk. Have you seen any father talking about his child like this? So, kevala anubhavam anandam swarupam sarva buddhi drukk. So, that shows that Vasudeva understood. How did Vasudeva understand that? Krishna allowed him to understand. When Krishna appeared, he did all these things. Who gave the power to glorify Krishna like that? Krishna gave the power to Vasudeva. So Vasudeva understood that and Vasudeva glorified that. Actually, Krishna is glorifying through Vasudeva himself. There is no question about that. Same thing with Devaki Devi also. That you can see Devaki's prayers also. Rubam yaltal prahur avyaktamadhyam brahma jyotir nirgunam nirvigaram satamatram nirvishesham niriham satvam sakshal vishnu adhyatmadivam. Have you heard any mother glorifying a son like this? Never in the history has happened like that. So both father and mother, when they got the help from Krishna, they understood who Krishna is. Yashoda Devi had to go through a little harder time through these different stories. But appearance time, Krishna has made sure that both Vasudeva and Devaki must understand who I am first. That's why the first verses in the glorification, both Vasudeva and Devaki, they are not talking about an ordinary child. They are talking about, you can see, vididosi bhavan sakshal purusha prakrite param. That purusha beyond prakriti. Beyond prakriti means beyond maya. Then kevalam anubhavam anandam swarupam. His swarupam is kevala anubhavam anandam. Kevala anubhavam means all the time what we are realizing, who we are. We get a spark of it sometimes. That we are not this body, isn't it? We get a spark of it sometimes. But for Krishna, all the time, we are not the body. That realization, who is always in that state, kevala anubhavam. Kevala anubhavam, it is called. And because of that, what? Anandam inside, always in bliss. Krishna is always in bliss. Remember, yes, the two things, and that is why Krishna is so fearless as well. These things are a part of that state of consciousness. That when you are in identification with the spirit soul, all the anxieties in relationship with the material body goes away. It doesn't come anymore. That anxiety, that depression, that, remember the six things we spoke about yesterday? That hunger and thirst, and the angering and lamentation, old age and death. These six things, shadur means, doesn't exist in Krishna. So therefore, always he is in that spiritual state, where he is in total identification with the soul. He knows who he is. We don't know who we are. That's the difference. We don't know who we are. We are confused all the time, isn't it? Little thinking, sometimes I'm this, I'm that, in this way. So you can see Krishna gave the knowledge to Vasudev at that spot when appearance happened. And same thing with Devaki Devi also. Devaki Devi also. So coming to this verses here in the 9th chapter, 13th and the 14th verse. Shuga Brahmashi mentioned that two verses, right? Mentioned those two verses. And then left to us. Now you think about it. He told the katha first. What happened one day, one morning when Yashoda Devi got up, started churning the butter, and Krishna was sleeping. Krishna woke up, came there, saw that Yashoda Devi was not giving any attention to him. He got upset, took the churning rod and smashed the whole thing down. Meanwhile, the milk started coming out from the pot which she was boiling. So Yashoda Devi gone to attend to the milk which was overflowing from the pot. So seeing that opportunity, Krishna took the churning rod and smashed the whole thing down. And picked up, there was a cat there. Cat followed Krishna. Krishna picked up the butter and went to the mortar. Walked away from there, from the scene. Fully annoyed with Yashoda Devi. Yashoda came back and saw what was lying there. The broken pot, all the butter lying on the floor. And saw the footsteps. Because Krishna has walked through the butter, so the footsteps were there, all over the floor. So Yashoda Devi could find that which direction Krishna has gone. So she followed him. By then, Krishna has got there and sat on the mortar. And sitting on the mortar, kept in his pot, in his hand a small pot where he had all the butter. And he is distributing freely to everybody, the cats and the monkeys, everybody who had come there. A nice story. In the middle of that, he says this. Na chandarma bahiryasya, na purvam na bichaparam, purvavaram bahishchandar jagadoyo jagachaya, tammatu almajam avyaktam, martyalingam adhokshajam, gobigo ulukhale dhamna, bhavanda pragratam yatha. So, coming back days, you can see that those two verses there is always trying to tell us who is Krishna. Always trying to tell us who is Krishna. Just like Vasudev got the knowledge when Krishna told him. And therefore when he glorified, first thing what he said was, Kevala anubhavam ananda swarupam sarva buddhi drukka. That is how he started the glorifications, isn't it? So, So, when Shuga Brahmashi says that, he is saying to us that Sachidanandam, Krishna's proper title is Satchitanandam. That is a better way of saying who is Krishna is. Satchitanandam, that is Krishna, isn't it? We also say in the Brahma Samhita prayers, if you look for example, there are Ishvara Parama Krishna, Sachidananda Vigraham. Krishna's Vigraham is Sachidanandam. Form is Satchitanandam. It says clearly there. Krishna's form is Sachidanandam. Satchitanandam is Krishna. We also have our prayers in the Palmuranam. Sachidananda Rubaya Vishwalpatyadi Hedavai Tabatraya Vinashaya Shri Krishnaya Vayam Nama. So again, Sachidanandam is Rubam. Krishna's Rubam is Satchitanandam. So that Sachidanandam is present in everybody's heart, and being situated within our heart, what happens then? It is able to, because of Krishna's presence inside, we perceive things in this world. If Krishna is not there, we won't perceive things here, isn't it? That power to perceive things, the awareness of other things, is coming because of the, yesterday we mentioned that, in any object here, The truth is given to this object because Krishna joins that truth. And because Krishna has joined that object, we perceive that it exists. Existence of this object is not coming from the object. Existence of this object, it becomes real to us because Krishna has joined this object. Everything in this world. The science is evaluating completely on a false level. Science is thinking all on a gross level, thinking that, if you have the eyes, you can see. As far as science is concerned, all these objects are existing, already kept ready for us to look at. But rishis don't agree with that. Rishi is saying, you got the power to recognize an object in this world only because that particular object is combined with Krishna. Krishna is present in the object, therefore you are experiencing that. So anubhavam is more Krishna than the form. Anubhavam, that you are experiencing the existence of this object because of Krishna's presence there. So, drashtava sarvasakshi, that is, drashtava means, and who is perceiving it? Again, it is Krishna who is perceiving from inside. Andaryami, it is due to his presence you have become drashtava, and the witness of everything. And then he says here, the purva param behischa andar jagadoyo jagachaya. Andar jagadoyo jagachaya. That in this creation, inside and outside, or up and down, all of them, it's only Krishna who is present here. You are seeing that this creation existing. Why? Because Krishna is there in everything. Therefore, you are this is the important principle Shubha Brahmarshi is trying to get across to us. That if Krishna is not present in this creation, you won't experience the existence of this. Number one. You are experiencing it because Krishna is present inside you, who is giving you the power to perceive these things. That is why he is saying those two verses. Yeah? Na cha andar, na bahiryasya, na purvam, na abhichaparam, purvabharam bahishchandar jagadoyo jagachaya. Jagadoyo jagachaya. This jagati or feeling as a jagat, as it existing, is because of his presence there. I know it is difficult to how to perceive this, but rishis, because they had without any instruments, they come out with all these much more subtle and finer conclusions. Instruments won't help you to get this understanding. No technology, no science can give us an understanding. This is the subtlety of the Upanishad's knowledge. The subtlety of the Upanishad's knowledge is this, that you can see the same message in the Ishopanishad. Ishavasamidam sarvam. What does it mean? That we are thinking that, Krishna is present everywhere, they are saying. How is it? He's staying in Golokam, isn't it? How has he got to do here? He comes here whenever he wants to come, and he goes back when it's finished. Business is over. No, that's not the way. Ishavasamidam sarvam. There is only Krishna everywhere. There's no place where... Shubha Brahmarshi says to Gopis, find out a place where he is not there. That's what I would like to know, he said. Rather than looking for a place where he is, find out a place where he is not there, find out that place and tell me, he says. To the Gopis, he says. So you can see the difficulty that Krishna is saying here, that inside, outside, everywhere Krishna is present. So that tattvam has spoken in those two verses. That is the most important aspect of that. And then he says here, Gopi tam atvaatmajam avyaktam martyalingam adokshajam gobigo ulugale dhamna bhavanda pragradam yatha. The 14th verse. So, bhavanda pragradam yatha martyalingam adokshajam. Look at all the words Shukha Brahmarshi has chosen there. He is saying to us that this vastu means this Krishna or pure consciousness, in other words, senses cannot capture him. Senses cannot capture him. Because if you start trying to understand him through your senses, you won't get him. It has to be kevalanu bhavananda swarupam buddhidrik. What Vasudev said. You cannot get him through your senses. You can use all your senses, you won't find him. All science is doing through the senses, isn't it? We want to find out God also through the senses. Whereas the senses come from God. Senses have come from God, and you are trying to find out God through the senses. How can it work? The very senses have constructed by Mahatattvam. From Mahatattvam, in that way, senses have come. In the creation process, it says there. Isn't it? So, no senses will be able to get hold of Vastu, this Vastu. And it will never be clear either. Who said that? Devaki Devi says there. Look at the first verse, Devaki Devi says, Rupam yatada avyakta madhyam. That third chapter, 24th verse. You have to connect all these verses. Only then it will all make sense. Otherwise it will just go on like this. If you look at Devaki Devi's prayers, she says to him, she says to Krishna, this is how mother starts the prayer with the son. Rupam yaltal prahuravyatamadhyam, saying to Krishna, this rupam yaltal prahu avyatamadhyam. Avyaktam it is. It's not clear what your form is. Nobody knows your form. What if you ask what's the form? Nobody knows. Brahmam, it's Brahmam. Jyoti, Nirgunam, Nirvikaram. No modes of nature and no other Nirvikaram. There is no kind of emotions, anything there. Pure consciousness, in other words. Completely pure, totally pure consciousness. Sattamatram Nirvishesham Niriham Sattvam Satchal Vishnuradhyalpadivam. So, if you just study Vasudeva's prayers and Devaki's prayers, you can see what Shukha Brahmarshi is pointing at. Because those words are, verses also are Shukha Brahmarshi has spoken before, isn't it? Though it has been spoken like that. So, that is the important thing. That's the important thing. So, here, Devaki Devi's words, if you take it seriously and look at there, you will see this truth. Cannot be explained through any means, through any medium. That means through upadhi. You see, for us, for example, we are presenting ourselves through this body, mind, and senses and intelligence, and these are all our upadhi, isn't it? So through upadhi, we can present ourselves. I can say I am this in the normal, general way, isn't it? We present ourselves through the upadhi. Upadhi, yeah? Devaki Devi is saying, this person who is lying here now in front of me cannot be spoken that way. Through upadhis, you can't explain him. He says here, because the truth is too high to express through that. And it is what Devaki is calling here as Rupam Yattal Prahura Vyakta Madhyam. And that form, Yashoda is now trying to tie him down with the rope. See the problem? The mother, actual mother, is saying, this form is not possible to explain. Form of? So that Rupam, Yashoda is now trying to tie with the rope. Is it not? When what Devaki Devi said, Yurvam Yatal Prahuya Vyaktamadhyam, but here Yashoda Devi is trying to tie Krishna with the rope. And why? Because Yashoda Devi saw Krishna is my son. Why shouldn't I do it? After all, I have got all the authority to execute, isn't it? So she is following that route. And as though Pragridam Yatha. Look at that word used there. Babanda Pragridam Yatha. Pragrida means this understanding of Yashoda about Krishna. Pragrida. That is Pragrida. It's not spiritual. It's not spiritual. Pragrida, that is. To see that Krishna is that body, I will tie him down. I'll make sure I'll teach him a lesson. That's the mood at the time, isn't it? Whereas Devaki Devi, because she had the mercy from Krishna at the time, Devaki Devi's perception of Krishna was Rupam Yatal Prahura Vyaktamadhyam. Straight away. Understood who he is, isn't it? Because Krishna has given that knowledge to her. Therefore, she was able to glorify in that way. And it is that personality here Yashoda Devi is trying to tie him down, thinking that it's my son, I will teach a lesson and I will punish him and all that. She's saying there. So, here, Suga Brahmarshi has used some technical words in those verses, right? That never will Yashoda Devi will be able to tie Krishna down. It is not possible. Technically, it is not possible. Technically, it is not possible. But that means through Tattvam, if you look at it, it is not possible. But Yashoda was able to do it. And that is why, how is that possible? Technically, it is not possible. But Yashoda managed to do that. So, Suga Brahmarshi is saying to us is that even though technically it is not possible, if Maya wants to do it, it is possible. If with the help of Maya, it is possible to do it. To make us understand what Maya means, to think about it. Maya's potency is such that anything, that this is where our logic fails now. Logically, how can you tie somebody down with the whole creation in him? And who is pure consciousness? And here, Yashoda Devi is trying to tie him down, and she did tie him down at the end, isn't it? That is where the power of Maya comes, to teach us what Maya means. So if you don't understand the Maya's power from this chapter, then you haven't got understood much of the tattvam behind that chapter. So he's saying here that Maya means, for example, a little bit more explanation. Sridhara Swami gives explanation to all these things. He's saying there that say you have a chain in your neck made of gold, right? And gold is present in throughout that chain, gold chain. Gold is present throughout, isn't it? So, so what is present in all, the whole chain is gold, but, the two words they use, vyapakam and vyapyam. Vyapakam means that gold is a vyapakam, but where is it present? In the chain. So chain is called a vyapyam. So something that is present throughout in the chain is gold, and that is called vyapakam, which permeates the whole place. And where is it permeating? In the form of this garland. So vyapakam and vyapyam. So always karanam will be in karyam. I'll explain. Cause and effect, right? Suppose from there is a cause, and from there is an effect from that cause, right? Cause will be present in the effect all the way through. You can't separate it from the karyam. Karyam, karanam and karyam. Karanam is the cause, karyam is the effect. Now, in the effect, cause will be there. Cause will be present throughout the effect. You will never be able to separate cause and effect and say that is cause and this is effect. Cause will have some effect in, cause will have some influence in the effect all the way through. Because that relationship is like that, between cause and effect. Karyam, karanam, isn't it? So similarly, Krishna is the cause of this all causes, isn't it? That's why we say cause of all causes. Sarva karana karanam. He is the karanam of everything. Karyam is this world, right? So how can you say Krishna will not be there in the world? The same logic. Gold is there, which is karanam. The chain is the karyam. Gold is present throughout the chain. Similarly, Krishna is the sarva karana karanam. Karanam of everything is Krishna. Sarva karana karanam is Krishna. That means everything that has come from that, the effect is this world. Creation is the effect of from Krishna, from that karanam. So Krishna is present in everything in the creation. That's the logic. That is the way it has to be understood. Not that this is a big mistake to think that Krishna has created and left it everything here and gone and staying separately in his own abode. That is not true. Because when in creation also what exists here is only Krishna, nothing else. But for us, we perceive through our senses in a different way. That's a different story. So similarly, Krishna is the cause of everything, and this mortar to which Yashoda Devi is trying to tie him down, where did that come from? It has come from Krishna, isn't it? And where did Yashoda come from? It has come from Krishna, isn't it? Where did the rope come from? It has come from Krishna. And this activity of tying him down, that's also Krishna. Because if Krishna is not there in Yashoda Devi, remember Dhruva Maharaj's verse, Yonda pravishya mimamacha mimam prasuktam, Dhruvastuti, first verse. Because Krishna is inside the heart, giving you all the help, you are able to do things. I am able to speak, you are able to hear, you are able to cook, you are able to eat, everything. Without his presence and sanction, nothing will work. Isn't it? Yo andha pravishya mama vaja mimam prasuptam sanjeevayadi agila shakti thara sudhamnam anyamsha hasta charana shravana togadin pranan namo bhagavati purushayatubhyam. That pranan inside every one of us is nothing but Krishna. Where is the pranan coming from? From Andaryami. So you can see the mortar is Krishna, the rope is Krishna, Yashoda Devi is Krishna, and the process of tying down is also Krishna. Everything has come from Krishna. So that means Yashoda, who has come from Krishna, and the mortar that has come from Krishna, and the rope that has come from Krishna, Yashoda Devi will not be able to tie him down. Because all these things have come from him. What it means is, Karyam, Krishna is the Karanam, everything else is Karyam. Yashoda is Karyam, rope is Karyam, mortar is Karyam, tying down is also Karyam. Karyam will never be able to include Karanam within its power. Karanam always is independent. Karyam is dependent on Karanam. Because Karyam is dependent on Karanam, Karyam will never be able to completely bring Karanam in its jurisdiction, in its control. Karanam is always independent of Karyam, and that is why this story. And then you can see here what happened was that we mentioned about Vyapakam and Vyapyam. What will happen is, if Karyam takes control of Karanam, that means Karanam is limited. Karanam gets limited under the control of Karyam. Under control of Karyam. But therefore they say here that Karyam will never be able to, or Vyapyam will never be able to limit Vyapakam. Vyapakam. For you can see this, think about it a little bit more. Gold is there in the chain, right? And gold can stay in that form of the chain. But chain cannot limit the gold. That gold can take another form in a different way, in the form of eardrops, or in the form of bangles, or in the form of ring. In different ways it can take form, but gold can remain as gold. Whereas form can always change. And so form will never be able to limit the Karanam. Karana, Karyam, effect. This is what is called Anyaya Vedregam also. Anyaya Vedregabhyam. It begins in the Bhagavatam like that, isn't it? It's the same thing. So if you understand that principle, you will see here that there are many things that you can make with the gold. And gold is present in every one of them. Gold is present in every one of them. For example, in the similar way, Krishna is present in Yashoda, Krishna is present in the mortar, Krishna is present in the rope, and not only that, Krishna is present in the whole creation. He is present in the whole creation. And that Krishna, who is present in this whole creation in that way, you will never be able to tie him down with time, with space, and in any way. You can't limit him. And because the rope with which she is trying to tie Krishna is limited. Whereas Krishna is unlimited. Karanam is unlimited. Karyam is limited. With a limited thing, you can't tie an unlimited thing. Krishna is unlimited. And you got a limited thing in your hand, the rope. And with this rope, you have to tie down an unlimited thing. But the question comes there. it happened. Krishna, this happened. And that is where the power of Maya comes. Power of Maya. You know, Maya has been analyzed so much in the Vedantam to make us aware. If you ignore this fact of Maya, then your whole spiritual life has no meaning actually. If you start thinking, oh, everything is so straightforward, it is not so straightforward. That is the problem. If it was so straightforward, we would all have been by now in the Goloka, sitting there. But because it's not so straightforward, that is why the whole problem is. That even this example, one small example is sufficient to tell us that, that what you think is not possible. Logically, it's not possible. According to the Tattvam, it is not possible. How can you tie Krishna, who is present everywhere? How can you tie him with a piece of rope which has come from him? How to tie him down? That's not possible. But it happened. Yashoda Devi managed to do that. And that is the potency of Maya. That's the potency of Maya. So, Krishna, who is pure consciousness, Shuddha Bodha Swarupam, and that pure consciousness, he has come and appeared in front of us with the help of this Maya. Without Maya's help, it cannot happen that way. That pure consciousness can never be limited to any form. He is in that state all the time, pure consciousness state. But in front of us, because we are not able to understand and relate with that, with the help of Maya, it comes in this form. Shuddha Bhodham. So, pure consciousness, whose Swarupam is pure consciousness, how did he get a form? How did he get a form? So, it is always in the Shastram. That is the relationship between Krishna and Maya. It's the relationship between Krishna and Maya. Because pure Sattvagunam, normally we say Krishna is Shuddha Sattva, we call it, isn't it? Shuddha Sattva we call it. So this Shuddha Sattva, it is through Shuddha Sattva Krishna's form is created. Form is created. And it is not like our body. It's not like our body. Krishna's body is different. Krishna's body is because Maya, which is to the power of Maya, that Satyachita Anandam, pure consciousness, it solidified in a form, and that form is Krishna. And that appears in front of us in a human form. It comes in front of us in a human form. You can think about it when you have time, that how is that possible? that is why when that verse in the Bhagavadam, Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. That's what that means, actually. Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. I don't know how you have understood that verse. Eteja Amshakala Pumsam Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam means, different people have understood in different ways that, but makes more logical and sensible when you understand it this way, that Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. That means that pure consciousness, which is we addressed as Brahmedi Paramatmedi Bhagavanidi Shabdyade, that pure consciousness is Krishna. Krishna is not different from that pure consciousness. That's a way to connect with that. So, you can see Krishna's form, which is unlimited, and who is present in whole creation. There is no place where he is not there. And able to present that in the form of what we saw in Vrindavanam or Mathura or later in Dwaraka. That form, who is, say, 6 foot or 7 foot tall, with, say, I don't know what the weight was, Krishna's weight, I'm not idea. But in that way to present in front of us, is able to do that is due to the power of Maya. Maya. That is Krishna's Maya's power. So it is using that same, it's a power of Krishna. Krishna's power that is. That means this pure consciousness has got this potency called Maya. And utilizing that potency, all these things are happening. All these things are happening. So, and it is only due to the power of that Maya that Krishna is showing to Yashoda, now you can tie me down. Now you can tie me down. And she is surrendering to Yashoda, enabling her to use the rope and tie it around him and able to tie it down. Because if you remember that when she started first time, she is taking the rope around and it's not long enough. Is it not? It's not long enough. Then all the other gopis wanted to help Yashoda. They all brought ropes, one after the other. They all joined it and again short of length. How would you explain all these things? This is where without Maya's help, you can't understand Bhagavatam. Maya is a very important part of the Krishna Lila. Maya has a big role. So many things in the Bhagavatam, you can ask questions. 110 million gopis were there in the Rasa dance. You know, specifically mentioned in the Bhagavatam. People ask the question, Vrindavanam, how long, how big is it? A few square kilometers, isn't it? 4 or 5 kilometers. And these Rasa dances happened in the Yamuna river bank, is it not? And you read Bhagavatam. First question that will come to your head is, how big was the river bank? Beginning, Shuka Brahmashi is saying to us, 110 million gopis. And here, the river bank is probably about 1 or 2 square kilometers, maybe 5 square kilometers. 110 million people were in 5 square kilometers. You'll ask that question, won't you? If you don't ask that question, I must say that your faith is very good. That's all I can say. You've got such a strong faith in everything. That Bhagavatam, that is why when we study Puranam, you have to take the help from people who have studied it properly. Otherwise, it will all remain all doubts inside and keeping quiet. Don't say anything. If you ask questions, oh, you're making an offense, Prabhu. Don't ask questions. That stage will come. And no questions will be asked and no answers will be given. That will be the state. And things will go on like this, day after day after day. So that's not good. We have to have some understanding why it is spoken like that. So here you can see, Maya can do things what we think we cannot do it. In 5 kilometers, 110 million gopis can stay and perform rasa dance there, because that is why, you remember, when Krishna started rasa dance, what is the first words he says? Bhagavan abhidoratri sharadolpulla milliga vichirendam manaschakre yogavaya mubashrida. Yogamaya's help is necessary for Krishna to do all these things. Without Yogamaya's help, it is not possible. So when rasa dance discussion started, the first verse itself, Shuka Brahmashri is saying, Yogamaya Mubashrida. With the help of Yogamaya, everything is happening. If Yogamaya is not there, this will not happen. This is not possible. Whether tying Krishna to the mortar, or to perform rasa dance in a few kilometers with 110 million gopis, it's not possible, but Yogamaya can do it. So what does it mean? Maya's definition is what? To make things happen, what we think is not possible. That is Maya. Akadita gadana padiyasi Maya. What you think is not possible, can make it happen, Maya can do that. That's her power. So there goes the important bit here. So here he's saying here, in the Maya's level, now Yashoda Devi has tied Krishna at the end with the rope. And he's standing there, tied down. And the gopis are saying and coming and saying to Krishna, you deserve this. They said to him, you deserve this because what you have done to us, you come and broken all our pots and let the calves run away. And they went and drank all the milk from the cows. And when we went to milk the cow, there was nothing there. The calves have drunk all the milk. There was nothing there. So all the childhood pastimes, what you have done, in that process you have hurt us a lot. Now you deserve this. And not only that, gopis, and so you can see this conversation between Yashoda and gopis at that time. Gopis are saying to Yashoda that, Yashoda, you never believed us, did you? Before, when we came and complained to you, you said, oh, my son will never do such a thing. That's what you told us. My son is such a nice child. He never does. He's always here with us, with me. He never goes out, but you are coming and making unnecessary complaint about him. So it developed in an argument between Yashoda and the gopis. Yashoda is defending Krishna. And gopis are saying to Yashoda, complaining day after day for all the things what Krishna has done. And unfortunately nothing was working, because Yashoda always believed that Krishna is there all the time at home. But while Krishna was present in the house of Nanda Maharaj, he is also present in the gopis' houses doing all the other things, what was going on there. And they are coming and complaining, and gopis are saying to Yashoda that all these times we were complaining about him, you never believed us, did you? Now see what happened. He has broken the pot, he has stolen everything, did he not? Now, and then looking at both Krishna's face and Yashoda's face, one after the other, looking at and saying, you deserve this, and Yashoda telling her that you never believed us, did you? So that was the day Krishna is saying, I never had a day like this in my life. So many nice things in the katha. Katha is necessary, you can see. Without katha, all these principles won't come out. If you only simply tell the tattva behind it, then katha won't make any. But katha is there, it makes us interesting. We find it more attractive. But there the question is, once you have understood the tattva behind it, what is the message that's coming out, then the katha is not... Katha is important, but katha is necessary also. But katha is not the only thing. That's the only important thing to remember there. So, in the level of maya, all these things can happen. All these things can happen. So, every transaction in this world, what we are doing, is all with maya. That is why all our transactions never work out properly. Have you noticed that? You make so many things you are doing, if it works out, fine. If it doesn't work out, we have to live with it, isn't it? Is there any transaction you can say 100% perfect here? Nothing. Nothing is perfect here. It may appear to us it is perfect, but you will see one transaction creating hundreds of problems along with that. Because that is why all transactions within the jurisdiction of maya, whether it is marriage, whether it is job, whether it is any activity what you do, you can see it doesn't work always perfectly. There will be always disturbances one way or the other. And that is due to the presence of maya. And to show to us the power of that maya, the power of that maya. And with the power of this maya, prabhavam, what will happen is, it can all happen what will not happen normally. What will not normally happen, will happen. Look, take for example this body itself. You are looking after the body. Say you have lived perfectly in your life, eating properly, sleeping properly, and keeping all the regulative principles 100% strongly. Is there a guarantee you won't get sick? You will still get sick. That is maya. Nothing in this world will remain in a perfect way. Marriages won't remain perfectly. Children won't behave properly. And you may think that when you bring up, when they are small, they listen to you. Another 10 years gone, they don't want to look at you. So, how do you explain that? Then parents are saying, oh, he was such a nice child, you know, when he was small. But now, look at him. He's got spoiled when he went to school and college. All the parents are saying this. But it's not a school and college. It is this maya who is doing this. That is the way maya is. Nothing you will get it perfect. It is not possible. And similarly, marriage relationship, you can see. When we got married, we were so much in love each other. It only lasted 6 months. After that, it was fighting all the next 40 years each other. So why is it happening? So what happened to that 6 months love? Where has it gone? So that 6 months love was maya. This 40 years fighting is also maya. She keeps everybody busy in this world one way or the other. It is Krishna's most powerful potency. That is why Vedavyasa Maharshi, when he wrote Srimad Bhagavatam, what did he say? You remember that verse? that he is saying there, in bhakti, what was it? Narada Maharshi told Vedavyasa to write Bhagavatam. Remember? That will never forget that verse. That verse, yes. Find out that verse. Forget the beginning. Yeah. 7th chapter. 174. 174. Bhakti yoga na manasi samyak pranahide amale apashyal purusham purvam mayam cha tatupashrayam. Krishna is standing there. Vedavyasa Maharshi is seeing Krishna. Along with Krishna, Maya is standing there. Mayam cha tatupashrayam. Krishna's shelter, Maya is also there. So this power, potency of Maya, is something which you can never any time take it for granted. When she will act, which way she will act, is difficult to conclude. So that is why in Puranam, when you are reading this, these things has to be borne in mind. Otherwise, sometimes it's very difficult to... Whereas most of the people, they are reading Bhagavatam and thinking, it doesn't make sense to me, they say. It will make sense to you when Maya start dealing with you. That's the only way it will make sense to you. If you can't... You remember, Krishna say in the Bhagavad Gita, what does he say at the end? There are five factors, is it not? At the end of the saying, there, in the 18th chapter, Krishna says, Ishvara, Jiva, time, karma, and Maya. Five things. Maya is one of the integral part of everything in this creation. You cannot remove Maya out of it and take Maya out. And then you are asking everything, you want an explanation to that. What explanation can you give to this except this word Maya? So, all vyavaharam is happening because of Maya in this world. And therefore, things happen. And everybody is perplexed in this world, isn't it? Everybody is perplexed in this world because of this. We all get perplexed. We try to do something in a right way, which you thought is the right thing. But the result was totally different. It was not the right result, what we got from that. This happened in the individual level, family level, country level also. Politicians, big leaders, they go and do something somewhere to sort out the problem. Everywhere we jump in first and to sort the problem out. By the time we sort out the problem and come out, 10 places the problems have started. Another 10 places. Maya is like that. So, that is why. So, and so here, Bhagava Krishna's tattvam is spoken by Shukla Brahmarshi, and Krishna's pastimes also, and the tattvam behind those pastimes, that means all the pastimes what Krishna is performing is in conjunction with Maya. Maya is present in everything. So, and that is what is also shown to us in that pastime. That is the purpose of this pastime. Damodara Leela's purpose is to show to us this tattvam behind it. That it is with Maya. Krishna, who is pure consciousness, pure awareness, and that is Krishna's identity, Swarupam. And he can get a form with the help of Maya, and he can have name and form, he can have pastimes, everything can happen because of the support of this Maya. And in this way, all the tattvam, pastimes, everything is spoken. And what we are saying this was, this is the way to understand the stories. This is the way to understand the stories. That means, that why did Krishna agree to being tied down? Because of the bhakti in the heart, Yashoda's heart. When Yashoda finally surrendered to Krishna and realized that, I cannot do it. Totally helpless, isn't it? She became totally... Because she just couldn't understand that I brought enough rope, I can't tie Krishna down. And he is my son, first thing. And he's only a couple of years old, 2 or 3 years old. And still I can't tie him down. And when these thoughts came in her heart, in her mind, she felt helpless completely. And she realized that Krishna is beyond her control. That means she was able, that's the point of surrender in Yashoda's heart. So when she surrendered, the first problem gone away. Aham amedi, me and mine, isn't it? First she was thinking, I am somebody. But Yashoda realized that I am nobody. Then Krishna is mine, therefore I can control him. That ego, that also gone. So you will see in Rishabhapadesham, Rishabha's instructions in many places, this aham amedi, me and mine, is the two things which manifest in all of us in the form of kartrutvam and boktrutvam. Kartrutvam, boktrutvam is this aham amedi. So when these two things goes away from inside, only then you can have Krishna. Otherwise not. Krishna will show himself to us. Otherwise not. You can do any amount of work in this world, service, this, that and the other. But unless this aham amedi goes away from inside, it will not happen. That's why in that chapter also you will see that. So this is the way to understand. So that is why that Yashoda tied Krishna down into the mortar. That is not actually you are tying down the pure consciousness who is present all over the world, isn't it? All over the creation, and he is lying there in that. Vilumangalam caught on that. Vilumangalam says to us, if you look in Vilumangalam's words, what Vilumangalam had to say about that. If you look at the second canto, 51 verse. Andar grihe 251. Andar grihe krishnam avekshya choram badhva kavadam jananim gadeiga ulughale dhamani baddhamenam tatra vidrishtva stimida babhuva. It's a famous verse. Andar grihe krishnam avekshya choram badhva kavadam jananim gadeiga ulughale dhamani baddhamenam tatrabi drishtva stimida babhuva. That Krishna got inside the house to steal the butter and yogurt, everything. And Gopi saw that the doors are all lying open of the house. Badhuva kavadam jananim gadega. She went inside. And what did she say there? Ulu ghale dhamani baddhamenam. That here Yashoda Devi has tied Krishna with the rope to the mortar. And Gopi saw that. Ulugale dhamani baddhamenam. And tatrabi drishtva, seeing that, stimida babhuva, they smiled. Gopi smiled, seeing Krishna being tied down. Andar grihe krishnam avekshya choram badhva kavadam jananim gadeigam. Ulugale dhamani baddhamenam. Tatra vidrishtvasmi stimita babhuva. So Vilumangalam caught this scene of Damodara Leela and put it in that verse. So you can see here that these realizations, what Vilumangalam has. Vilumangalam says it was only possible because of Yashoda Devi's bhakti. Otherwise it will never be possible to tie Krishna down. In bhakti, Krishna will take out that Maya side of it. Maya will make it. Maya can invite Maya to help to do that, what he wants to do. So that is how it happens. So I think we'll have a break now. Cheto darpanam arjanam bhomahadavagni nirvapanam shreyakaidava chandriya vidaranam vidhyavadhu jivanam आनंदाम्बुदिवर्धनं प्रतिपदपूर्णामृतास्वादनं सर्वात्मना सुभनं वरं विजयते श्रीकृष्णसंकीर्तनं नामनामकारि बहुधा निजसर्वशक्ति पिदानीमिदा स्मरणेन कालं एतादृशी तव कृपा भगवन् ममापि दुर्दैवमीदृशमिहाजनिनानुरागाहम् ತೃಣಾರಭೀಶುನೀಜೇನ ತರೋರಭೀ ಸಹಿಷ್ಣುನ ಅಮಾನಿನಾಮಾನದೇನ ಕೀರ್ತನೀಯ ಸದಾ ಹರಿ ನಧನಂ ನ ಜನಂ ನ ಸುಂದರೀಂ ಕವಿದಾಂ ವಾ ಜಗದೀಶ ಕಾಮಯೇ ಮಮ ಜನ್ಮನಿ ಜನ್ಮನೀಶ್ವರೀ ಭವದಾದ್ ಭಕ್ತಿರಹೈತುಕಿ ತ್ವಯಿ ஐநந்தனூஜகிங்கரம் பதிதாமம் ஷமே பவாம் புதௌ கிருபயா தவ பாத பங்கஜஸ்தித தூளீ சதிருஷம் விசிந்தயா நயனம் கலதஸ்ருதாரயா வதனம் கத்கதருத்தயா கிரா புலகைர்நிஜிதம் கதா வபு தவன்மாமக்ரஹணே பவிஷ்யதி யுகாயுதம் நிமேஷேண சக்ஷுஷா ப்ராவிஷாயுதம் சூன்யாயுதம் ஜகல் சர்வம் கோவிந்த விரஹே நமே ஆஸ்லிஷ்ய வா பாதரதாம் பினஷ்டு மாம் அதர்ஷனாம் அர்மஹதாம் கரோது வா யதா ததா வா விததாதுலம் படோ மல்ப்ராணநாதாஸ்து நயேவ நாபரா. அந்தர்கிரஹே கிருஷ்ணமவேக்ஷசோரம் பத்வாகவாடம் ஜனனீம் கதைகாம் உலூகலே தாம நிபத்தமேனம் த்ருஷ்ட்வா தத்ராபி த்ருஷ்ட்வா ஸ்மிதா பபூவாம். வில்லுமங்கலம் இஸ் சேயிங் தேர் தட் யூ ஹவ் பீன் என்க்வயரிங் அபவுட் தட் வஸ்து ஃபார் அ வெரி 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 லாங் டைம் இஸ்ன் இட் லைக் தி ஞான மார்க்கம் இட் சேஸ் நாட் திஸ் நாட் திஸ் நாட் திஸ். That's how they inquire, rejecting everything. I'm not the body, I'm not the mind, I'm not the intelligence, I'm not the ego, I'm not the senses, rejecting everything, and finally what remains, that's what that was too, Krishna, isn't it? And still you haven't got it. Jnanis are taking a very long time in their inquiry of the self, and they haven't realized it yet. Ulimangalam says here that go to Vrindavanam, and there you can see in Yashoda's home, Yashoda's house, she has tied down that vastu you are looking for. She has tied him down to that mortar and he's standing there, and that is the beauty of bhakti. Bhakti's power to show to us what bhakti can do. So, and that is also shown in this pastime, the Damodara Leela. You cannot say that that's not shown. As important as the other one. Like talking about who is Krishna teaching us through and Maya's potencies. Apart from that, the power of bhakti is also spoken in that chapter, in that Damodara Leela. And then, this verse is not there in that chapter. The verse is not there. But if you read through the verses, you will get this impression. What is that impression? Is this, that Parikshitas asked a question, this. Damodara Leela came out like that. Parikshitas asked a question that Shuka Brahmarshi is saying to Parikshit, what have you understood? Shuka Brahmarshi is asking to Parikshit, what have you understood? So, and it is difficult for Parikshit to think about it and come up with an answer. So, therefore, He says to Shuka Brahmarshi that you should make me understand what this is all about. You see, because those verses what we have looked at, we have understood on a theoretical level. But in experience level, Maya's activity is difficult to understand, isn't it? So, when Shuka Brahmarshi asked Parikshit this question, what have you understood? Parikshit's response was, he sat there quietly with folded hands and told Shuka Brahmarshi that, I do not know. It was at that time Shuka Brahmarshi says to him, look at that verse. You will see that every verse that's spoken there in the 9th chapter, if you look at that. That's the answer to that. That's the answer. He's saying there that because Parikshit, after Krishna has spoken that, sorry, Shubha Brahmarshi spoke that chapter, Parikshit could not understand clearly what Shubha Brahmarshi was saying. He was struggling with it, and it's not mentioned in the verse there, but you could see the way, the flow of that verse is. And Shubha Brahmarshi, sensing that Parikshit is having difficulty, he says to him that people like us, how he puts it, Dehi means people like us. Dehi means one who has got Deham, body. He said Dehi. Or you can also say Dehabhimani, who identify with the body, thinking that they are the body. We are called Dehabhimanis because we have Abhimanam in this body. We feel pride identifying with this body, isn't it? Dehabhimani. And another word for us is Ajnani, who have no knowledge, completely in the control of the body. Or people who live in this world in Ahanda Mamata, Aham Mameti, who live in this world with Aham Mama, Aham Mama, with that concept, right? And that means who thinks that I am a person, and who thinks that this is all mine, this is all mine. And for them, people who are like that, for them, Krishna is a long, long distant away from, for them. That's what he's saying here. You see that? Look at the verse, 21st verse. Mayam sukhapo bhagavan, dehi nam gopika sutam, yani nam chalpa bhudanam, yatha bhakti madam iham. Mayam sukhapo bhagavan, dehi nam gopika sutam, yani nam chalpa bhudanam, yatha bhakti madam iham. So there, in that verses, he is saying to him that those who are in that category, they'll find it, because this ahanda and mamata, aham, me and mine, that is, unless we break that chain, these are the two chains with which we are tied under in Maya, me and mine, only selfish interest, nothing else. So me, as long as we have that concept, it's mine and me and mine, then as long as it's there, it is not possible to come closer to Krishna, unless this is broken up. So, therefore, people who are on a material concept of life, material existence, materially identifying with the body and living a life like that, for them, Krishna is very far, is so far for them. So, and for Jnani, it is not like that. For Jnani, what does Krishna say? Jnani talpaiva me madam, he says. Krishna is saying there, isn't it? Jnani is my soul, Krishna says. Jnani talpaiva me madam. So, and he said this to Arjuna as well as to Uddhava. Both to Arjuna and Uddhava, Krishna has spoken about the glories of the Jnani. So, here, Krishna is saying, Jnani means it's my soul, Krishna says. Yani twalpaiva me madam, asti do sahayuktalpa mameva utavangari. You will see these words in the Bhagavad Gita. Yani is not different from me, he is my soul, Krishna says. So, and soul, what is soul? Alpa means that Alpa is nothing but that vastu who is inside all of us, who is the subject of, object of love for everybody. We all have loving relationship with the Atma inside. For Atma's sake, we do everything. Only thing, we don't know that, what we are doing, for whom, we don't know. We think we are doing everything for the body and the mind. But actually, everything is done for the sake of, because we have love for Atma, which is our pure identity, our own identity. For their benefit, we are doing everything. So that is why that topic is going to come later. The love we have for this Atma, we don't have for anything else in this world. Remember yesterday also we mentioned this. Atmanastu kamayam sarvam priyam bhavati. Everything we love in this world, because we love ourselves. That's the underlying principle. It is in the conversation between Yajnavalkya Maharshi and Maitreya. Explains to Maitreya that why do we love somebody? Because you love yourself. For my pleasure, I love somebody else. For my pleasure, I do something for somebody, for my pleasure. So, Atmanastu kamayam Kamayam sarvam priyam bhavati. And because Atma gets pleased with that, so therefore I develop a relationship with somebody. Atmanastu kamayam sarvam priyam bhavati. It's a very subtle thing, but it is the truth also. And that you can't... Therefore, when people say, oh, you shouldn't be selfish and all that, selfishness is a part of this structure. What can you do about it? That's how it's created. For your happiness, you have to work. And that happiness, working in that way, all these relationships comes out. Sarvam priyam. This is what Upanishads are saying. So, everyone who love in we whom we love in this world, why do we love them? Because we think that if I love that person, it will please my Atma. It will please the soul, which is what our real identity is, isn't it? So, for the sake of the Atma, we are doing everything. So, so ultimately, all loving relationship in this world is dependent on the Atma. Is dependent on the Atma. So, it says here that Nayam Sukhapo Bhagavan Dehinam Gobiga Sudam Yaninam Chalpa Bhutanam Yatham Bhakti Matamiha. Yatham Bhakti Matamiha. So, important thing is that Krishna is saying that Jnani is that Vastu who sees this relationship with the Atma. He knows this, right? So, Krishna is seeing Jnani as the very soul itself. Very soul itself. Atma Bhudhanam, he says, isn't it? Atma Bhudhanam. That means, who are Jnani? Jnani means, who realizes Krishna as the very self inside and continuously experiencing that. All the time, fully conscious and aware of that Krishna is present inside as the soul. He is called it Jnani. Jnani means that one who is all the time conscious about the soul as Krishna. The soul as Krishna. So, and even those Jnanis, they find that difficult. What to that? You can see in the Bhagavad Gita what Krishna is saying there. Bahunam Yanmanamande Prabhadyade Vasudeva Sarvamiti Samahalma Sudurlabha. Is it not? You have to look at every word carefully. Such a Mahalma who sees Vasudeva Sarvamiti. Everything is Krishna within everyone's heart. It is Krishna who is present everywhere. Such a person is very, very, very rare. Very rare, Krishna is saying. So, Bahuinam Janmanam Ande. So, a Jnani does not take birth in this life. He has been a Jnani for several lifetimes. When you see in someone a higher knowledge of self, or very higher manifestation of the self-realization in a person, you can more or less take it that he had been in that for many lifetimes. Krishna is saying that. Bahunam Janmanam Ande Jnani. A person becomes a Jnani after several lifetimes. So sometimes you can observe this when you look at certain people, an unusual power in them. Power in the sense, power of knowledge in them. What kind of knowledge? Material knowledge, spiritual knowledge, working in them in a day-to-day life. They are dealing with the world. There are many like that, not one or two. There are many like that. Only thing, you got to be very observant to notice that. That when they deal with this world, you will see that the knowledge working behind it. That knowledge of the self. So that person, Krishna is saying, Bahunan Janmana Mande, after several lifetimes he comes to that state. Jnanavan, Jnanim Prabhadyade. And naturally you will see in him bhakti, in that person. Surrender will be there in him. Vasudeva Sarvamidi, he knows everything is Krishna. That firm realization inside. Samahalma Sudurlabha. Such a Mahalma is very, very rare, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? So, when you read Bhagavadam and see these statements from Shuka Brahmarshi, and then you go back to Bhagavad Gita and start looking there, you can see everything what's spoken there is executed by these personalities here in the Bhagavadam. So, that's why we say here that Bahunan Janmanamande Jnanavanmam Prabhadyade, he mentioned there. So, many, many lifetime, Anega Janma Samsiddham Sayadi Paramam Gadim. Another place in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is saying that. Anega Janma Samsiddham. You should never think spiritual life started in this life. For us, it just started in this lifetime. But there are many people for whom spiritual life has started several lifetimes before. Aneka janma samsiddham. And you are more or less certain, Krishna says, Sayadi Paramam Gadim, they will get there at the destination. At the destination. So many, many lifetimes, their sadhana anushtanam, jnana sadhana, what they have performed, therefore only such a person will be able to realize in this lifetime Krishna as their very self. Only for those people. So we start today and thinking, oh, why we are not happening to me? There is the answer. That's the answer. That in several lifetimes before, they must have practiced jnana sadhana, self-inquiry, and studied shastram and thought about it deeply. In many, many lifetimes, they must have followed. What you are seeing now, today, in them, is what their stage is, what level they are at. So that's why you find these differences in them. And but why did Krishna say that? Is that a jnani, it takes several lifetimes. For a devotee, it may not take that long. It will take time. Not that it will, overnight it will happen, I got initiated, next day you will be pure devotee. That's not going to happen. It will take time, but comparatively, it will be easier. Comparatively, a little less troublesome. So, because he says here, and how quickly devotee can go back to Krishna, it won't be that easy with the Jnana Margam. With the Jnana Margam, it won't be that easy. Because even though who consider that Krishna is my very soul inside, even for him, it will not be that jnani, it will not be possible to pointing out all those things in those verses. That is what he's saying here. Nemam virinjo na bhavo na shri rapyangasam shrayaha prasadam lebhire gobi yatal prapa vimukti dal nayam sukhabo bhagavan dehinam gobiga sudha jnaninam chalpa bhudanam yadha bhakti madam iha. That line. See that second line of the 21st verse? Jnaninam cha alpa bhudanam. A jnani who considers Krishna as his very self, jnaninam cha alpa bhudanam, he will not be able to go to Krishna as easily, yatha bhakti madamiha, who is a devotee. This is a comment from Shukha Brahmarshi. He himself is a jnani. So that's what is seeing that. But that also you shouldn't forget. He is a jnani. Maitreya Maharshi is a jnani who speaks to Vidura. Isn't it? He is a jnani. But they were all devotees as well. So jnanam and bhakti is not two different processes. They are all devotees. Shukha Brahmarshi is a devotee. Maitreya Maharshi is a devotee. When they start explaining about Krishna's pastimes and relationship with the devotees, they all fall into great ecstasy. You can see that in them, how it changes them altogether. So here, So what it is that love or bhakti can attract Krishna faster than the knowledge of self, self-realization. So, and that loving relationship, somehow or the other, got built up in Yashoda. Yashoda's love for Krishna, and therefore in Yashoda's heart, Krishna manifested. And based on Yashoda's desire, that Krishna allowed her to tie him. And therefore they say, Yashoda tied Krishna with the rope of love. More than the rope, coir, or rope, isn't it? So bhakti is that rope of love for Krishna. Love for Krishna. And that is the rope for tying Krishna. Bhakti is the rope for tying Krishna. So, and all these pastimes in this 10th canto, Krishna Leelas, all of them is presenting to us different moods of that bhakti. Bhakti is one, but bhakti has different sides to it, isn't it? Like we say, Yashoda's bhakti is different than Akrura's bhakti. Uddhava's bhakti is different than Akrura's bhakti. Ambarish's bhakti is different than Parikshit's bhakti. So bhakti has got different, and as we told before, we spoke about before also, that bhakti has got We saw gopis have one relationship. Gopi Kamal Bhayal Kamsa Deshin Chaityado Narba Sambandam Rishnayam Sneha Yuyam Bhaktiya Vayam Vibho. So Pandava's relationship with Krishna is one. Narada Maharshi's relationship with Krishna is different. And similarly, Kunti Devi's relationship different. Gopi's relationship different. So all that different types of bhavam, what is present in their bhakti, and that is what is in the all the Krishna's pastimes in the 10th canto. Gokula Leela, pastimes in Gokulam, Vrindavanam, and then Mathura, and finally Dwaraka. In these four different places, all pastimes, Krishna's pastimes is limited to these four places. Vrindavana Leela, Gokula Leela or Vrindavana Leela, then Mathura Leela, and then Dwaraka Leela. In four different places it has happened. And what is loving relationship means, Narada Maharshi defines that in the Bhakti Sutram called Satvasmin Parama Prema Rupa. Parama Prema Rupa. So bhakti means nothing but total attachment to Krishna. Total attachment to Krishna. That is bhakti. And in order to build that bhakti, develop within that heart, it is important that in some form of material loving relationship must be cultivated towards Krishna. This Shandam, Dasyam, Sakhyam and all that are material things, isn't it? Material relationship, we have all of them. All of them. We have Shanda Bhavam, Dasya Bhavam. It is in us, already there in our material life. Shandam, Dasyam. Similarly, friendship, Sakhyam, Vatsalyam, parentage, Madhuryam, conjugal relationship. This is all in material relationship. One of these bhavam or this relationship should be there and execute that with Krishna in life. In order that the bhakti to develop. Bhakti develops after that. So if we do like that, you can see in the Brihadvanam Leela, that means Brihadvanam, in Vrindavanam, the 12 forests, one of them is Brihadvanam. Brihadvana Leela, you will see there, there's talks about Yashoda Devi and Nanda Maharaj's bhakti. Brihadvana Leela, isn't it? And there they have, both Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj have taken Krishna as their own child and worshipping him. But how did that happen? That is called Valsalya Bhakti, isn't it? Valsalya Bhakti. So, what was happening, if you ask Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj, why did you love Krishna so much? They have no answer to that. They don't know why. It just so happened in their life. Is it not? So, that is how Valsalya Bhakti is. That means all kinds of love, what they had, they showered it on Krishna. All their love was for Krishna. And in course of time, that turned into bhakti. That turned into bhakti. For example, you can see a mother is looking after her child, isn't it? Looking after her child. And similarly, Yashoda Devi and Nanda Maharaj thought, he is our son, we will look after him. In that way, they looked after him. And that is Valsalya Bhakti. And it's a very pure form of bhakti also, this Valsalya Bhakti. What happened was that when they kept on doing this for some period of time, that the relationship turned into bhakti. Initially it was love, pure love. But that developed into bhakti. And when Krishna was name giving ceremony happened. Remember? Namakaranam. Name giving ceremony. It happened in the Goshala. It didn't happen in the house. So Gargajarya came there. Gargamuni did the name giving ceremony to him. And before that, before Gargajarya told Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, they didn't know who Krishna was. But Gargajarya told them that he is a great personality, Narayana Samam Gunai, he says. Equivalent to Narayana, he said. That's how Gargajarya defined about Krishna, spoke about Krishna to him. Narayana Samam Gunai, in all qualities, he will be equal to Narayana. Didn't say he's God, but told him like this. Narayana Samam Gunai. So, And they told him also, so he told them also, that if you look after this child nicely, and with love and devotion, if you look after him very well, you will get liberated. They put this in front of Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj. And Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda never forgot that. Unlike Vasudeva and Devaki. Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda always thought, because when this name-giving ceremony happened, Gargajarya told both of them, if you love him and look after him nicely, you will never have any problems, and even when you leave the body. But if you mess around with him, your heads will go. That's how it was so told. That's how it was put to them. So when Gargajarya mentioned that, they did not fully understand the gravity of that statement. They didn't know. They said that, okay, he is our child. That was the understanding. But Nanda Maharaj kept that in the head all the time. So therefore what happened? Throughout childhood, Nanda Maharaj will not speak one word against Krishna. Whatever Krishna says, go ahead with it. Go along with it. Krishna says, stop the sacrifice for Indra. Nanda Maharaj says, no sacrifice for Indra. Although it was being done for many, many years at home, when on Krishna's words, he was willing to stop that. Like that, in every instance, Nanda Maharaj, not once in his lifetime, went against Krishna's wish. Yashoda did. Few times. Yashoda's nature, being mother, you feel more freedom to control the child, isn't it? Feels more liberty to do what you want to do. Whereas Yashoda thought, even though this was spoken, while name-giving ceremony happened, to both Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, Nanda Maharaj followed it very rigidly. Every instance, you will see in so many places, Krishna demanding things which were not totally logical and sensible, but Nanda Maharaj had to agree. Nanda Maharaj had to agree. And whereas Yashoda's case, Yashoda will punish him. Nanda Maharaj will never punish. Even in this pastime, Damodara Leela also, Yashoda Devi tied Krishna with the rope to the mortar, and nobody else could release him from that. What does Sri Shuka Brahmarshi say? Shuka Brahmarshi says, somebody who has got equal love like Yashoda alone will be able to untie him from the mortar. So that's why when the Nalakuvera and Manigriva, the two trees, which were pulled down by Krishna with the mortar, Krishna, after with this mortar, he started pulling between the two trees. And when he got inside, the mortar fell in the horizontal way. So when Krishna pulled, the mortar pulled both the trees together and both the trees fell down. So, and when both the trees fell, the cowherd boys who were with him, they were all playing together, the children. And they went back and reported to Yashoda, the two trees have fallen. Yashoda could not believe it, what has happened. They could not understand. Because they were playing elephants. The children were playing together as elephants. And they were saying, now that you are tied to the mortar, it's like elephant pulling the wood. You know, they were having a good fun together. Children, you know what they are like. They're having a good time with all this. And ended up like this. The two big trees standing on either side fell on the ground. Yashoda comes there, and she was frightened to go anywhere nearby. And at that time, Nanda Maharaj arrived there. And there says, Shiva Brahmarshi says, somebody who has a similar love for Krishna. And Nanda Maharaj goes up to Krishna and asks him, what happened? So Krishna says, my mother has done this. At that time, Nanda Maharaj asked Krishna, whose son are you? And so Krishna says, I'm Nanda Baba's son, not Yashoda's son. He wanted this answer from her. Because generally, every time when Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj, this was a game they were playing together with Krishna. Both will bring Krishna together and ask Krishna, Krishna, whose son are you? Krishna will say, always he will reply, I'm Yashoda's son. One day, Nanda Maharaj asked this question, whose son are you? Yashoda Devi looked at Krishna. If you say you are Nanda Maharaj's son, you won't get the breast milk anymore from me. So they were used to tease Krishna like this. So never once before Krishna has said that I am Nanda Maharaj's son. And Nanda Maharaj was feeling that. Always you do everything for him, but he says I am Yashoda Devi's child. So it fed up one day when this incident happened. Nanda Maharaj thought this is the right opportunity to get him. He will answer the right thing. So when he asked Krishna, whose son are you? Krishna says, I am Nanda Maharaj's son. And Yashoda Devi started crying. First time in her life she heard this. That was a type of relationship they had with Krishna. So much love between Yashoda, Krishna and Nanda Maharaj. In all throughout childhood it was like that. So that is why he coming here that the so simply looking after Krishna, being attached to Krishna, and they lived that life, which was practically fully spiritual, isn't it? Looking after Krishna and playing with Krishna and engaged in the pastimes with Krishna, they don't need anything anymore. That was sufficient for him. And in engaging in this pastimes with Krishna alone gave them total satisfaction or knowledge of the self-realization happened to them. And they were experiencing that. So what has happened now? And all the 24 hours, both Yashoda Devi and Nanda Maharaj were only thinking about Krishna. Only thinking about Krishna, nothing else, throughout their life, isn't it? So, and that father, mother, they couldn't think about anything else except Krishna. That stage has happened to them. Eventually, because if you keep thinking about one person throughout day and night, what will happen? After a while, it will get inside to that extent that you will never be able to forget him anymore. It has come to that state. So, often you could hear Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda feeling anxiety about Krishna. Feeling anxiety about Krishna and various thoughts coming up. What will happen to Krishna if I do this, if I do that? And will any danger? Krishna will be got into trouble with anything? In this way, constantly thinking about Krishna one way or the other, it happened to this state that what yogis are looking for, what is that? Mano Nirodham. Nirodham happens. Nirodham means this. Nirodham, in the Patanjali says in Yoga Sutram, Yogam Chitta Vritti Nirodham. Chitta Vritti goes away. Chitta Vritti means other thought waves. So, due to this absorption in Krishna, in this way, Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, in this way, being absorbed in Krishna, that means there was no thoughts inside any other thoughts except something that is related to Krishna, one way or the other. Either concerned about Krishna's eating, sleeping, all kind of child's problems, and then dangers, because he is our son, concerned about Krishna. So in this way, 24 hours Krishna is inside in their heart. Therefore what happens? Mano Nirodham happens. That is the purpose of 10th canto. Yogam Chittavritti Nirodham. There is no other Chittavritti. Chittavritti means other thought waves. Thoughts about other activities in this world. Such thoughts have completely gone away from inside. From both of them. And that is what is talking about here. That mind has got there in Krishna. And therefore a stage has come that they can only think about Krishna all the time. And they couldn't think about anything else in this world. And this is called Nirodham. Nirodham means you have blocked all other thoughts and you have filled the whole mind with Krishna. Whole mind with Krishna. And this is this happened to them in a natural way. It has happened to them without any effort. That's the beauty of that. You didn't have to put any extra effort for that. In a natural way it happened to them. And that is the speciality of bhakti. And that is what here he is saying here. Who is saying this? Sukhabrahmarshi is saying, see that? Yatha bhakti mata miha. Bhakti's power. He is saying, a jnani for several lifetimes after doing self-inquiry, he may or may not get there. It is tough. It is not easy. But look at their good fortune. Krishna, Sukhabrahmarshi is saying to us, this couple, Yashoda Devi and Nanda Maharaj, what did they do sadhana? Nothing. What shastram have they studied? Nothing. What have they done in life to come to this level of bhakti? Yatha bhakti mata miha. Simply by getting absorbed in Krishna 24 hours, the whole consciousness, mano nirodham, what is to happen has happened to them. And eventually Chaturthi has completely stopped. So Idha Bhakti Madamiha. This bhakti has got this power. Bhakti has got this power. So whomever you remember, you love to a very high intensity, you will always remember that person. If you love that person, like the mother loves his children or child intensely, isn't it? You will never be able to, even sleeping, while in a very subtle level, it is always there inside, in their heart. They will be remembering about their children, isn't it? So whom do you love so much? Whomever you love a lot, you don't require any extra effort to remember them. In a natural way, that happens. Because due to that love, smarana, memory will be there of them all the time. Because what is the after effect of love? You are loving somebody for one reason only. It brings you happiness, anandam. Anandam comes from that, isn't it? So every time when you think about a person whom you love, in a natural way, the happiness comes inside our heart without our knowledge. We feel happy. That's why you're trying to remember that person. So, and because of that bliss that you are experiencing due to your attachment or loving relationship with that person, it's not difficult for you to remember about that person. Like they say that a man and woman who love each other, he doesn't require any yoga system to practice how to love, isn't it? Loving relationship between man and woman, lover and the beloved, they love each other and they don't have to practice it by any yoga process to make that happen. It happens in a natural way. Because why? Because the beloved remembers the lover all the time and therefore it is in her thoughts all the time. So naturally, because there is love there, the thoughts are there. This is a material example, but it can happen in spiritual life also in the same way. So, and because of that memory, he is always thinking about the beloved, thinks about the lover, and he is in that ecstasy of thinking about him or her. So, in a natural way, remembrance happens to them because of this love. They are able to remember them. Similarly, for the mother to remember her children, she doesn't require any training for that, isn't it? Yoga bhyasam, or yoga process. No yoga process is required. Mother, you will see naturally, all mothers generally will have a natural attraction for their children. They doesn't require any training for that. So every time when they remember about their own children, immediately the love starts coming out from their heart, isn't it? So, and equally, in the same way, the children also feel for the mother. Remembrance of the mother for the children also feels in the same way. So, when we talk about Valsalya Bhakti, you should remember this. Valsalya Bhakti is not one-sided. It's not only between the parents and the children. It's also between the children and the parents. Not only between the mother and the children, but between the children and the... It's a two-way traffic that is flowing. Mother shows attachment to the child because mother remembers the children all the time. So it's always inside there, the thoughts about them. And that smarana gives her happiness, remembering about her children. Similarly, children also remember about the mother in the same way. And so these two bhavam, parents remembering the children and the children remembering the parents, that exist. So therefore, when we talk about Valsalya Bhakti, that parents love their child as a little child, boy or girl, and love him and pat him and look after him. In this way, attachment builds up in one level. On the other side, if the children are showing similar response to the parents, they also get attached to the parents in that way, to the mother or to the father. And if we also develop that relationship, that is also Valsalya Bhakti. That is also Valsalya Bhakti. So this relationship, you will see Valsalya Bhakti in many, many devotees. In many, many devotees who has that similar attachment to their children, or and that same bhakti towards the parents also from the children. So So if you continue that Vatsalya Bhakti, continue that, it comes to its peak, and that's what you find in this Damodara Leela. When it comes to its peak, and at that, in that mood, if you continue that relationship for a long period of time and serve Krishna in that way, what will happen? That's what Shukra Brahmashri is saying here. Babanda prakritam yatha. You see that 14th verse? 14th verse? It says there that tamvattu alpajam avyaktam martyalingam athokshajam gobhiko ulugale dhamna babanda prakritam yatha. Babanda prakritam yatha. Babanda prakritam yatha means that you can tie him down through your rope of love in your heart. Inside your heart, you will be able to tie him down through the rope of love. Inside the heart, not tying to the mortar, but tying within ourselves, you can tie him down with the rope of love in this way. What does that mean? It means that due to the love of that devotee, the love of that devotee, and that love has to be without any adulteration, pure love, pure bhakti in other words. Due to that, Krishna surrenders to that. And because of that, Krishna will never be able to leave his heart, that devotee's heart. Krishna will never be able to leave the devotee's heart because of that relationship. Because Krishna, the devotee has tied him down in his heart with the rope of love, means bhakti. And therefore, that Krishna will never be able to leave that heart anymore because he's already tied inside. So, and being situated within Krishna, devotee's heart, you will see that Krishna's presence there in him all the time. So that is what tying down means with the rope of love. So you will notice this. Now this is what important thing. When you look at Prahlada, for example, right? Why Prahlada was acting like this? Remember about Prahlada what it says in the Bhagavatam? If you look in the 7th canto, Prahlada's nature, what is spoken there, it says that if you look into the 4th chapter, 7-4, verses 37, 38, 39, 40, 41, 4-5 verses. Prahlada's state of bhakti. He says here, took it from 39. Kojit drudadi vaikundam chinda shabala chetana kojit asadit achinda hladam ulgayadi kochil nadandi kochital kandho vilajo mrtyadi kochil kojital bhavana yuktam tanmayo anuchakaraha kojitul pulastushni mam ste swasparsha samsparsha nirvruda aspanda pranaya ananda salilami lidekshana. Those three verses talking about Prahlada, what Prahlada was like. What Prahlada was like. Prahlada's relationship. We think Prahlada was different in any way. No. What he's saying there is that Prahlada was nature was such that always in an ecstatic state. Always in an ecstatic state. So here he says that Prahlada used to laugh sometimes in a way like a mad person. He used to laugh, isn't it? And sometimes he used to cry. Sometimes he used to dance. That's what those verses are saying. Kuchil Shabala Chedana, all these things says there. Sometimes he used to laugh, sometimes he used to cry, sometimes he used to dance, sometimes he used to be very quiet, not doing anything. Different moods in Prahlada all the time. So people are thinking, what's wrong with him? What had happened to him? They were thinking that it will be alright after he grows up. The children, they act in funny sort of ways, isn't it? So because Prahlada's attachment to Krishna was so strong in the heart, he has tied Krishna down inside. Krishna couldn't go out from there. And when Krishna was inside, all these things were happening to him. How was that happening? Because he is thinking about Krishna inside, and he knows that Krishna is inside all the time. Yeah? And he is thinking, Krishna is inside me. And thinking about Krishna, Prahlada is laughing. Thinking about Krishna, Prahlada is laughing. Oh, he is stuck there. Krishna wants to get out. He can't get out. He is stuck in my heart, inside me. And Prahlada is knowing that. And he's saying that, you try to get out and see if you can get out from inside me. And Krishna cannot get out. Seeing that, Prahlada is laughing. So these are all different sides of bhakti. What happens to Prahlada at that time, isn't it? So you will see this. Some devotees have challenged Krishna. Krishna, Vilumangalam particularly, this happened between Vilumangalam and Krishna. Vilumangalam used to do deity worship. Even though, and Krishna used to visit him. A little boy come to him, and deity is there, Krishna is, Vilumangalam is worshipping the deity, and Krishna is assisting Vilumangalam to worship the deity. This is the situation. While worshipping the deity, Krishna used to arrange everything for Vilumangalam, the flowers, the fruits, tulsi leaves, and whatever bhoga they had to offer, everything. Krishna was the assistant for Vilumangalam to do the deity worship. So, while doing this deity worship, one day, Krishna took bhoga and ate it, what was kept for offering to the deity. Vilumangalam got upset. With the left hand, he gave a good smack on Krishna, like this, to get out from there, he said. Move away from here, from the deity worship. Krishna said, walked out from there and told him, you will never see me again, I'm going, he said. Got upset and walked away from there. This whole history is there in the Karnavatam. It's mentioned also there. So what happened was that Vilumangalam, when this happened, says to Krishna, you walk away, but you try to get away from me, you will never be able to, he said. That's the verse there. You will see that verse in the third canto, 96th verse. Four verses from the end. That's that verse. Four verses from the end. No, not four verses, it's 109, isn't it? So, I'll tell you what. 96 verse. Hastamachipya. 96, yeah? 396. Hastamachipya tosi, belal Krishna kemal buddham, hridaya didinariyasi, paurusham ganayamite. Vilumangalam is saying to Krishna, Hastamachipya tosi, belal Krishna kemal buddham. Krishna was smacked like this, hastam. You think you can beat me away with this hand like this? Krishna is saying, if you just smack me with your left hand, then I'll go away like that. And I'm not worried, he says. Hridayadyadin riyasi paurusham ganayamite. Vilumangalam is saying to Krishna, I would like to see if you can escape from me. You will never be able to. Paurusham ganayamite. Hastamat shippayadosi belal Krishna kim albudam. If you can get out of my heart, then I can say that you are courageous. Physically you can walk away from there, but you will never be able to go out of there. After a few minutes, Krishna comes back and says to Vilumangalam, where is the prasadam? So this is the relationship between. There are so many interesting pastimes with Krishna and Vilumangalam like this. And it is in one instance, that is where what happened was that when Vilumangalam upset Krishna due to, in their relationship, something happened. And after that, Krishna said, you won't see me again. If you want to see me, come to Anandam Forest. Anandam Forest is the place that Padmanabha Swami temple is today. Thiruvananthapuram, that Padmanabha temple. That temple is Anandam Forest. It was forest before. And that is where first Vilumangalam meets Krishna again later on. So this fight happened many miles away from there. But then Vilomangalam went mad afterwards that Krishna never turned up again. And he was chasing him, and Krishna told him that if you want to see me again, come to the Ananta forest, which became later Thiruvananthapuram. Padmanabha Swami temple was built much later than that. Vilomangalam has an influence in that deity there in Padmanabha deity, which is in the Padmanabha Swami temple. So that is the history behind it. So Vilomangalam, so devotees like him, they have that relationship with Krishna to that extent that they have cultivated like that in this way. So sneham, the power of that love, that there is no control in there. Nobody can control these things, isn't it? So when bhakti builds up to such an extent, and stories like this are with many, many devotees. It's not only about Vilomangalam, don't think like that. That many devotees in many parts of the country, you will see this relationship between Krishna and devotees in the same way. Vilomangalam I mentioned because of the Karnamrutam, I mentioned it like that. So, and bhakti, when it becomes very powerful and strong, and when it comes to the pure devotees level, prema bhakti, in that level, that this relationships will be such that how you behave at that time with Krishna, there is no control. There is no control. You are completely relaxed about it, isn't it? Whereas in the dasya bhakti and all that, you feel have reverence and all that. But here the relationship, even valsalya bhakti, it is valsalya bhakti, Vilomangalam had with Krishna. There also there was no control in any level. And if one continues doing like this for a long period of time, if that, then chittavritti nirodham will happen to him. And what will happen is at that time, what is going on through Yashoda's heart, Yashoda's mind, and how did Yashoda see Krishna? So, in this Damodara Leela, Shuga Brahmarshi has spoken all these things, which he has not spoken so openly like in other pastimes, isn't it? So, different people get different realizations through Bhagavatam. So, so Yashoda had that good fortune to be with Krishna in that way. And when that scene, particular scene, when Yashoda came to see Krishna sitting on the top of the mortar, distributing the butter to all the cats and the monkeys, and Krishna looking back, if mother chasing me, it's one of the most famous form for meditations for devotees to meditate upon. Yashoda in a mood to punish Krishna, running towards Krishna. Krishna looking back and checking if she is following, chasing me. And then Krishna is sitting on top of that mortar and distributing butter to all his friends, the monkeys, the cats, kittens, all of them are there. Freely, free for life. For free distribution going on. And while distributing, he is looking back to see if Krishna, mother is chasing him. And that is what he is saying here in this also. That, look at the verse number 8. It's a famous verse for meditation for the devotees. Ulughalangrerubarivyavastitam, situated on top of the mortar. Markaya kamam dadadam shichistitam, distributing to the monkeys, fulfilling their desires. Markaya kamam dadadam shichistitam. Hayangavam chauravishangide akshanam. While distributing that, he is looking back. Hayangavam chau, because chor, isn't it? Makan chor. He has stolen. So he knows that he has done a wrong thing. So, chaurya vishangida akshanam. Hai angavam chaurya vishangida akshanam. Looking back to see if mother is following him. Niri iksha paschal sudam agama chaneihi. And Niriksha Paschal Sadam Agamachanehi, whether she is coming, following him or not, that's under, that means he's sitting on top of this mortar and this pot of butter in his hand, he's eating that. Krishna is eating that. All this stolen butter it is. It's not even properly acquired in the wrong way, everything. And all these cats and monkeys are standing around and he is distributing to them and he is patting them also, giving them, bribing them and patting them, having fun with them. And at the same time, when doing all these things, he is looking back also if Yashoda is following him. So, and that form of Yashoda, form of Krishna on top of the mortar always stays in Yashoda's heart. Yashoda never forgot that throughout her life. Well, how do you know that? Much, much later, Uddhava went to, Krishna went to Mathura. Once Krishna sent Uddhava to console them, to tell them that I will come back one day, in a few days' time and all, Krishna sent a message to Uddhava in the 47th chapter. You can see that. So Uddhava came and Yashoda Devi, the day Krishna left, since then, Yashoda has closed down that room where Krishna used to keep all his toys. Them days, toys were different. It's not Toys R Us. Those toys were very simple toys. What Yashoda Devi and Nanda, any toy, if Krishna wanted something, Nanda Maharaj used to go call the carpenter and tell him to make it, whatever toy he wanted. And different carpenters used to make toys and bring it for Krishna. And Nanda Maharaj used to keep those toys and say to the carpenter that Krishna is not grown enough to play with these toys. So many things like this in the Bhagavatam. That, and Nanda Maharaj used to say this to the carpenter, and carpenter will say to Nanda Maharaj that he is a little boy now, but he will grow up one day and he will need it. And anticipating that one day Krishna will need these things, they were willing to do the work now and bake the toys and give it to Nanda Maharaj. And apparently when these carpenters brought these toys, carpenters and others also who brought the toys to Nanda Maharaj, Krishna acknowledged all their bhakti. This is called bhakti. Bhakti means this, that open feeling for that Krishna without any reservation in the heart. And Krishna has acknowledged their bhakti later one way or the other with all these people. So those toys which has come like this, with which Krishna has played later, Yashoda Devi packed up everything in one room and kept it there. When the night when Uddhava came, evening time that he arrived in Vrindavanam, and Nanda Maharaj initially thought Krishna had come. Actually Krishna didn't come. Even though he sent a message to Uddhava that he'll come back to Vrindavanam later to see the parents, he never came after that. Because the purpose was over. You see, Krishna's, when Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj is loving Krishna in one way, Krishna is looking at about their spiritual advancement. And when Krishna realized that they have reached that perfection in their spiritual life, there's no need for him to come. And when Uddhava spoke to Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, that ultimately you have to see Krishna as it your very self inside. All that verses are there in the 47th chapter. Till that time, and when Uddhava reported back to Krishna, after this knowledge was delivered, Krishna realized there is no need for me to go there again. Because 24 hours, Sandha Maharaj and Yashoda is conscious of who Krishna is, situated within the heart as the Antaryami. So, you will see all that in the Bhagavatam. Anyway, important thing was, when Uddhava came back from Mathura to talk to as a messenger, to see the gopis, and also to console Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda. So at that time, Yashoda is saying to Krishna, I will never forget that scene, the day I fell out with him. And tears started coming from Yashoda. Bhagavatam says, tears was coming from Yashoda. Because that was the only day when Yashoda upset Krishna. And now Krishna has gone. So Yashoda is saying to Uddhava, that may be because he doesn't want to come back here again, what I did to him. You know that? That is why Damodar Leela is important. This is the most important pastime of all, which has actually put Yashoda in a very difficult situation, which she has never forgotten throughout her life. And even after when they went into the solar eclipse, after many, many years, by now Krishna is over 100 years old, married with many wives, children, grandchildren, everything. Yashoda has not forgotten that incident yet. So from that you can understand why Damodar Leela is important. So bhakti's power is such that if it happens in that way, the way it has happened to Yashoda, it can, you don't need any jnana margam, any yoga margam, any karma margam. It is straight away the perfect state. But bhakti is also not easy. You may think like that. Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj, due to their good fortune, they had Krishna as a son. And Krishna has decided to bring them up to that level of bhakti. That was their good fortune. So anyway, here he says there that verse... all the time thinking about Krishna. Isn't it? So he says, so the Chittavritti Nirodham has happened to them in this way. A few pastimes like this with Krishna is sufficient to develop that attachment. A few. In Yashoda's case, after all, how long Krishna stayed in Vrindavanam? Not many years. After, you can see, by the age of 7 or so, Govardhana pastimes happened, and then Kamsa invited. I think by 9 or 10, Krishna has gone to Mathura. So in that few years' time, Krishna has attracted all the gopis, Yashoda Devi, Nanda Maharaj, everything, and they all have developed this level of bhakti within their heart. So whichever that Yashoda Devi's case, it is this particular pastime that attracted Yashoda. This Damodara Leela, particularly that Damodara Leela. So whatever form or pastime that attracts one, that one should use it for the advantage for that. And thinking about that all the time. That's the process. Actually, Katha has got that power. But only thing is, you have to get attracted to that power. Ramanujacharya was an expert in this. He was such an expert, you will unbelievably expert he was. In Ranganatha temple, when he used to talk about Ramayanam was his main book he spoke about. While talking about from Ramayanam, the discussion was so exciting. There were no many devotees to go to the deity. Everybody was sitting around Ramanuja and listening to him, what he had to say. So one day, the deity told the pujari that, I want to go and hear what Ramanuja is saying there. Everybody is going there. Deity says this to the pujari. So pujari said, from now on we'll have a new system that will take the deity in procession all around. Temple is huge, isn't it? So they have to take the deity in procession everywhere. So naturally they'll bring the deity in front of Ramanuja. Ulsava Murthy they bring there. Because that was the instruction given to the pujari. Pujari is bringing the deity where Ramanuja is speaking Ramayanam to the devotees. Quite far away from the deity's deity room, right? So when they got there, Ramanuja realized that the deity has come in procession. He stopped everything. His lecture, everything he stopped, went there to pay his respects and obeisances to the deity. Ramanuja was a great personality like that. So when this happened, those who were listeners to Ramanuja, who was listening there, they said, oh, this is becoming a nuisance, this procession, bringing the deity here. When it happened a few times, one day, they complained to Ramanuja that, can we stop this deity coming here? He comes here and you are stopping this discussion of Ramayanam. You are stopping this and you are going and talking about it. And therefore, this interruption we don't like. We don't like this interruption. The purpose of all this is to get attached to the deity. And a deity is coming there and you are saying you don't want to see the deity, I want to hear the katha. So they were so inspired by the katha. What did they do? This presentation of this in this way, speaking the story, Harikatha, spoken in the form of Katha, Harikatha Kalakshepam, it was called. Harikatha Kalakshepam means for passing the time as well also as a living. It was their main occupation, Harikatha. So therefore it was done like that. So they gave the deity a name. What did they call him? Kalakshepa Shatru. They're calling the deity one who protects, objects our happiness, what we were getting from the Katha. That means some devotees are like that. That they don't want to see the deity or anything. They want to hear Bhagavadam or Ramayanam or Mahabharatam, whatever it may be, wherever they are attached to. They simply want to hear. And when there are personalities like Ramanujacharya, when he talks from Ramayanam, it will be such that they can expand on that to such levels. You don't know where it's all coming from. The mood of Sugriva, the mood of Ramachandra, the mood of Shaveri, the mood of Vibhishana, the mood of Kumbhakarna. They can to extract it to such finer levels that those who are listening don't want to go. Don't want to go. And once it so happened, in Chennai, there is a big hall called Rasikar Anjani Sabha. It's like, you know, in Mumbai they have called Shanmugananda Hall. Like you can say, a hall meant for big performances. Big performances. That means it has got something like 20,000 people can sit and watch the whole. It's built like that. Rasikar Anjani Sabha, they call it. In Mumbai, there is one called Shanmugananda Hall. It's huge. And if you have a performance there, means you can expect minimum 20,000-25,000 people. Like all these big film stars and musical concerts and big personalities, you know, and they have, like we have Wembley here in the same way, something like that. So, in this Rasikar Sabha, there was a great devotee who was talking about Bhagavadam there, in one instance. So there were many people in the hall listening to it, and they were enjoying it, listening. Next to him, he was young, he was not that old. Next to him, there was a very old man who was sitting very next to him, something like 90-year-old. And this 90, and sound system, everything is very good in these halls, you see, because it's been built for this purpose, good echo and good sound systems, right? So this old man who is sitting next, he's enjoying it so much that as soon as he said something, this devotee said something, he will react to it. Sometimes he will laugh loudly, not knowing all this laughter is also going through the mic to the whole hall. So people couldn't hear everything, what he was saying. Sometimes because of his laughter, and sometimes he will sneeze, sometimes he will make all kinds of noises because of that excitement in the hearing. So people all who are listening, they started thinking, this old man is real nuisance. He is sitting so next to him. Why doesn't he come? So in a nice way, they went back and told, this happened actually with Krishna Premi. Let me tell you who it was. Krishna Premi was the person who was speaking. Krishna Premi was a famous devotee who is in the Ramanuja traditions, but he is very old now, he is still living, and very realized personality in the sense. So he was there, and they all went up to him. Probably Krishna Premi is also in that age group now. This happened many years ago. So they told Krishna Premi that, please ask that old gentleman to come and sit with us in the chair somewhere. Right now he's sitting next to him, where he is speaking, and right in front of the mic next to him. He won't listen. So what did Krishna Premi say to them? Krishna Premi said to them, I am speaking this whole Bhagavadam for this person, he said. Not for you. He is the one who is actually hearing it properly and enjoying it fully. That is Katha. Harikatha means that you should listen and you should enjoy it. If you are not enjoying it, just like one person said, one another great devotee said, he went to Mumbai to talk about Krishna consciousness and Bhagavadam. Prahlada's appearance, Narasimha Avataram, was the topic. When he came back, somebody asked him, how was the trip? Trip was okay, he said. What happened? He said, I spoke the Prahlada story there, Narasimha Avataram. Only Narasimha's mother was there to listen. There was nobody else. And all those who were sitting there were like Narasimha's mother. Like a pillar, they sat there like this. and listen. So, Kharikhara, power of Katha is such that it has to get inside us. If it's not getting inside us, that means there's somewhere something wrong. Either the speaker is not right or the listener is not right. The speaker's duty is to create that relationship within the heart and change the heart. I think we'll stop there today. We'll have a 15-minute kirtan and then we will have prasada. All glory to Srila Prabhupada. Have kirtan.